What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Ray.
And I'm wondering what game we're going to use remote play for.
You guys didn't have a chance to play that this week?
Dude.
Why are they showing, like...
I haven't even sat on my computer this week.
Is Cuphead only, like, couch co-op?
Yeah,
that's okay. Why. All right.
So that's why that's their, like, because that's a big game that doesn't have multiplayer. And like I said...
And they just added the... Wait, did it come out yet? The
what?
DLC for Cuphead, or no?
Isn't it a sequel? Cuphead 2, I thought they was announced.
I thought it was just a DLC.
Something with chicks in it.
I feel like we're jumping the gun here.
I thought it was a DLC, and they're adding, like... I don't know.
All right. But do you have it in there somewhere?
One minute into the show. No, I don't. Well, the Steam Remote Play, yeah. I
do. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to
it. Boom, games.
Maybe just not like the first minute hit him with...
Games, right, guys, games!
Get your games, yeah.
Wild theories about games. All right, just a few announcements before we get started. We are on Reddit now, r/digitallogic.
Yes, now you can post all whatever the fuck you want on there and...
Yeah, so the idea behind this is that we're posting things that were on the Discord that we don't want to lose. So if you want to see all the pictures from DLGCon 2019, you can see those. And then just anything else that's going on as well. All the entries for the Battle Stations contest are on there.
It's an archive, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it could be used for other stuff as well. But it's nice that we actually have that now where we can archive things.
I'm so proud of that shirt that I'm wearing, like how now, fat I look.
Now we can really archive, like... like the not safe for work stuff, right? There's a bunch of good memes in there that, like, I'm so lazy to scroll up.
Yeah, I guess
up.
If you label it not safe for work, yeah, it's fine.
That would be
I don't
cool.
see why not.
Some good ones in there.
Here's, that's what's important to to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, fuck everything else.
In the Discord, we now have a book section. So, you know, I had this idea. Jen's actually... They voiced the idea and everyone really supported it. So I give him credit. I kind of had this idea. I was like, no way that's going to fly. You know, we already have too many channels. No way anyone's going to want to talk about books. But I'm glad we finally got that in there. And a lot of people talking about a lot of cool stuff. Turns out we actually have an author on our Discord as well.
Oh, cool.
So
apparently we have dentists too, because they're coming out in droves telling me that I got to shave. Brush my
teeth. Yeah. So shout out to our new Patreon, Jiro. And yes, he was a dentist who joined the Discord and voiced his opinions and
gave me money. He's giving us money for his tooth.
Yeah.
Hygiene products, yeah. Apparently.
And I have a little surprise here. So this is our first ever live call in. I actually have Jiro on the line here. What? I talked to him earlier.
I'm so surprised.
about being on the show because, you know, we talked a lot about hygiene in the last episode. Hey, how you doing, Jiro?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm glad you could join us. You're our first ever call-in on the DLG show, so congratulations.
Wow.
I know, it's an honor.
I'm flattered.
I think it's for an intervention. This is
yeah, it is. It's for an intervention.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a lot of talk about oral hygiene, brushing and flossing, and you are a dentist, so we wanted to get your opinion on that.
Okay, so... Emilio,
yeah,
feel free to not floss.
Yeah,
then you can give me some monies.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, it's gonna cost me money later down the line, is what you're saying.
It will. So here, I'll break it. I'll make it real simple.
Yeah.
So that study came out, and it was a compilation of basically there being poor studies.
It's
hard. It's hard to study the flossing thing because ultimately you have to tell someone not to floss for 2 to 3 years, and that doesn't really work out very well because it ends up being an unethical situation.
Mm.
That's kind of the issue. So to put it kind of simple, you go to the toilet, right? You go take a shit. You wipe your butt.
Right.
Watch, he doesn't wipe his butt.
Right?
No, guys, so, I never wiped my ass before. It's genetics.
Well, let's assume he does.
It's the same thing. You got these little things living in your mouth. They take a shit, and if you don't wipe it, that's just, it's disgusting. Like, you got to clean the stuff.
All
you
right.
got to clean.
Okay.
It's...
Thanks, Dad.
No. At the end of the day, legitimately, they legit sit there, and that's what happens. So the flossing thing, not a big deal. You know, some people only floss a couple times a day or a couple times a week or whatever. Not a big deal. More so the brushing thing. I know you got the night guard or whichever for your snoring.
Yeah.
The issue is if you wear this thing and you don't brush, you're kind of just trapping the stuff in there overnight.
I've been washing that, actually. I brush that more than my teeth, actually.
It makes sense. At least you do that. That's important. That's important.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, when I had Invisalign, I felt like I had to brush my teeth twice. Like, I had to brush my teeth, and I had to brush my trays. Man. Yeah. It was way too much work.
Yeah, that thing is gross. I pick it up, and it's gross. So I guess that's my mouth.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, like, so, you know, the real recommendation is you're supposed to actually be brushing like every 4 hours after you eat or whatever. The issue is you can't get anybody to do that. People right. don't do that. Yeah. People, no one flosses. We all get it. No one flosses. That's another reason why the studies are so poor. It's if I was to go and floss your teeth, I would floss your teeth totally different than if you went and did it.
Right.
Just because I understand how to do it properly. But most people don't. So because most people don't, the studies are really kind of skewed. They don't make any sense. They're not very clear. But I can tell you right now, if you were working with me and I stuck on you for, I don't know, about 2 weeks, you would notice a difference. If I sat there and actually like flossed for you and did all that stuff for you for 2 weeks, basically, if I just babied you through the whole thing.
Yeah, because you would do it with love and care, and I do
with love and care, right? Tons of love and care.
And I do it with spite and angst.
Well, if you don't do it a lot, too, your gums will bleed at first, yeah. And that freaks
me out. Bleed,
sounds
man,
super like, healthy.
You
got to
toughen. You got to toughen up the gums.
I love doing things that make me bleed.
So, how long have you been a dentist, Jira?
So, I've been licensed for about 5 years now.
Okay. And as a dentist, this is going to be a random question here. Is there like a weird kind of intimacy that you experience with people when you're just like inside their mouth? Like, is it ever weird? I ask because I think there's a lot of sexual tension between me and my dental hygienist. It's a long story.
Is it a boy or girl?
Oh, it's a girl.
You know, there might be, man. I don't know what's going on between your hygienist.
I mean, I combine that with also the fact that I have a friend who married his dentist, too. And I'm just like, you know, maybe there's something going on. I mean, you are like inside somebody.
Well, she's probably impressed with dude, you do everything right with your mouth. So she's probably, it gets her wet between the legs, dude.
Maybe.
Everyone's getting wet here.
As I'm sitting here right next to my fiance.
Oh yeah. Well, bad question.
Well, did you put your fingers in her mouth before you put anything else in her mouth? Like, what, was she a client before she was in love?
No, actually, no, she was not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there goes your answer, Bobby.
Yeah, there goes my theory.
Is she a client now?
No, she's not.
So she still doesn't let you put things in her mouth.
Still doesn't.
Oh
no.
Man.
Well, at least you can make sure she flosses. You can stay on her about that.
Exactly, right? Nah, man, like the whole, it's weird, dude. Honestly, like, I remember the first time we had to, you know, I guess, dig into people's mouths. It's weird. But after a while, it's kind of, you don't think about it.
Yeah,
you really don't.
The job.
And then you learn to love it. And then you learn to love it a little too much.
Wait, I don't know.
And then
know,
you get
man.
Fired.
There's days where I think I hate it. And there's other days where it's kind of like, okay, yeah, this is great.
Well, yeah, if a horror show comes in, I'm sure it's a fucking
you have good day.
It can be pretty bad sometimes, honestly. It can be pretty gross. If I can tell you some stories, it's pretty gross.
Like, how's your teeth, by the way?
I think that I have, I've had one cavity my entire life.
Damn. Because, like, Daniel's a dentist. And this thing, and he's like, I'm like the worst dentist in the way that my teeth are all fucked up.
Are they? Are his teeth fucked up?
Well, they're all crooked as fuck.
Yeah, but that's not.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, I know.
All right, dude, thanks for the call in. We're going to start the show.
All right, thank you very much. And thanks for being a Patreon, too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it. All right, later. Titty tear next time.
All right. Step your game up. So, I'll start flossing.
That was the informative part of our show. Now on to the regular show.
Did you hear that, Bobby? I'm going to start flossing if he hits titty tear.
We can start a GoFundMe or a pledge donation. All right. So let's talk about some video games here. It's on the radar. The big announcement this week was Half-Life Alyx, the VR exclusive game. Now, this is exclusive to VR, but you can play it on any VR headset,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And this is a new Half-Life game by Valve. They're saying it is as long as Half-Life 2, so we're talking 10 to 15 hours.
They're saying it's over 15 hours. There was like a 20-minute video. Did you watch it?
No.
There's this one writer, editor, I mean writer, that did Half-Life, spoke to Gabe when he did Half-Life 1, spoke to him again right before Half-Life 2 came out, and now he did it again. And he's been actually walking around the offices watching him develop it for like the last couple years.
So this is a prequel, right?
This is a prequel.
So we're not going to get any more of the story. No. But it looks like it's we're going to be watching the building of the Citadel. And the forming of the resistance.
Yeah, it's going to be filling in some gaps. And I like that they're going with Alex, too, because Gordon doesn't really fit in like a modern game these days. The whole silent protagonist thing would not work. And Alex is one of the more interesting characters. I would have liked it if it was about that old bald scientist, that guy, you know, that old crackpot. He'd have some interesting stories. Or maybe he'd just be in the lab the whole time. I don't know. But Alex is, I think, a good character to focus on for a game like this.
For sure. I like everything about this. This is what we wanted, right? Isn't
yeah.
it what we wanted? It's not Half-Life 3, but who cares what the name of it is, as long as it's just as fun.
No,
as...
but it's not Half-Life 3. We still don't get... We were left in a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
yeah. That's true. I mean, but that's Half-Life, man.
Yeah, I know.
But
I
if
know.
This does super well,
yeah, maybe of course, we will see of it. Course, yeah, and just but give us a regular
I feel Half-Life. Like this is... They're playing it safe, too. If they were to say this was Half-Life 3 and made it a little differently, then... People would be expecting a lot more. The fact that this is a Half-Life game, but it's just like kind of an offshoot or a spinoff, then the expectations aren't as high.
But I mean, dude, they're calling it their flagship game. Like, yeah, this VR, is. Yeah.
So when I was watching that 20-minute video, they started talking about how they started working on this the second the Vive came out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And because they said like, oh, Vive's out. There's a couple games out, but there's no. Game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, what do we do? Let's do something. Like, should we do Half-Life? Should we do Portal? And they're like, if we do Portal, we're going to have people fucking throwing up and shit going through, like, all these portals.
Right, right.
And they're like, all right, then let's do Half-Life. So they started doing Half-Life with the old Half-Life 2, like, models and stuff and, like, and all the textures. And that's how it all started.
Yeah.
And they started, and then they...
This is probably Source Engine, right? Or some
Source
some
2.
Version.
It's yeah. Source 2 yeah. Engine. Yeah, and then they said that they were developing the Source 2 engine when this was, like, happening. So a lot of the stuff that was, like, implemented was, like, getting created together with Alex. So I just think it's fucking awesome, man. And I got it for free.
Yeah, so it's free with the... If you already bought a Vive...
Yeah.
What if I bought a Vive now?
Yeah, if you buy a Vive now, it comes with it free.
Yep.
Otherwise, $60. So this is a... Which I understand...
Wait. We mean Index, right? Not a Vive.
Yeah, and Index. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and
you've been saying it too.
No. Because I said Vive earlier because when
you were
the
right
Vive,
then. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I was right then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it comes free with the Index. Otherwise, it is $60 on sale for $54 right now. But I'm not too upset about that price point because it is a VR game and it is a long
game. It's a long game.
And
you're
getting a lot of content.
Flagship is their way of saying AAA.
Yeah, this is gonna, dude. This is so exciting.
Bobby, can I? Hit you with the I told you so.
I don't know. We'll see in March.
What?
March 2020 when this comes out.
No.
I'm sure
we had a debate whether or not they were going to do this. And you're like, come on, dude. They don't make games anymore.
This specifically? No, they obviously make games. They made that Dota card game. It was probably revolving Half-Life 3. I was like, I don't think Half-Life 3 has ever coming out.
No, you said...
I am surprised about this. Like, I didn't see this coming, I'll admit
Let's see if somebody can
find that. But it's in between the events of Half-Life and Half-Life 2.
I think we fought about whether or not they were going to make a AAA title for VR.
Dude, they've been saying it forever.
Yeah, but Bobby was like, no way.
It's all rumors. Watch, if you scroll down, if you buy the Index... Well, it keeps going down. If you buy the Index, already own a Valve Index, look what you get. You get, right there, go down. Right, you're right there.
Extra content?
Yeah, you get extra content. You get special Half-Life Alex themed content for CSGO. You get alternate gun skins, and then explore environments of Half-Life Alex in your Steam VR home space. So that's kind of cool. Little extra perks for owning.
Some bonuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looks like we're going to have to buy this one, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know.
We got to buy a VR kit first.
Yeah,
dude. We are low on funds.
So I was telling you about the VRs, and like you're going more towards the Quest, and then I was saying the Rift S has better graphics than the Quest, but it has cables.
Yeah.
So that's like the only, but like the Quest now you can connect it to your computer, but then it adds a cable. but it makes
yeah,
it
you have to buy a cable.
Are you are you absolutely sure that the
yeah,
the Quest has less resolution than the the Rift S?
Mm-hmm. It's significantly cheaper, so I'd assume the specs are low.
Now it's the same price. The Rift S is one is also $400
My big thing was that we're going to be passing it around because the DLG owns it, not me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, like the Rift S, I think it's a quick connect. We all have good enough graphics cards for it.
Well, once we have the money, I'll start doing the fucking research.
I think
and then we'll talk about it.
I think the Quest would be fine.
That'll be fun to like. Actually, I'll talk about all the research too.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting to a point now where it's starting to slow down a little bit because for a while it was just like, why buy a VR kit? Something bigger and better is coming out just in a couple of months, and everything was in beta. And I don't know. Now things seem a little more stable. So
and I also
think about investing in one.
It's definitely going to be a while before something beats the Index, I think.
Yeah. I think we've kind of hit a plateau as far as graphics go.
Yeah.
You know, because we tried the first Oculus and that was rough. I mean, that was not good.
That gave everybody a upset stomach. Everyone.
Well,
I tried it.
This will be the probably the best graphics ever in VR.
Yeah.
Because I've never played a game that comes close to.
Well, how do they handle movement on the Index? That's with a little joystick on it.
Well, it's.
It's up to them. It's up to the developers,
it's up to
right?
the game. Like, so, like,
well, some games do the teleport thing, but I thought the whole thing with the Index was now they had these little joysticks. That's how you could get around.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, they do have joysticks, man, but the floating sense kind of sucks in VR. It's like I've never really been like I haven't been a fan. I tried it with Forrest, I also tried it with Pavlov.
Yeah,
and when you're playing Pavlov and you're just you're pressing forward on the joystick just to move and the first time it's overwhelming like you're just like it's like it just kind of like pulls you back in a way like is you're like floating through it because you want to walk, dude. There's like a part of you that wants to fucking move your feet.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah.
That's why I like when it's like room space and you can actually walk around and roam and look at the whole room. Like, that's fun. But I don't know how they're going to do it with this. I don't know if it's...
Whatever it is, I trust them. They're probably
it's probably
going to
be
right.
teleporting.
Although, they did fuck up the controller. Remember when the controller came out?
Yeah, the controller, the Steam Link. They've had a few misfires.
Yeah. But yeah, super exciting, super awesome. Seeing how desperate they were before Gordon showed up, that's going to be cool looking.
Well, I think there were some rumors as well that they're going to be working on some other titles as well, Portal games, Left 4 Dead games in VR, so maybe we'll see that in the near future as well.
Yeah. And it looks like she has a gravity gloves.
Yeah.
So, which is going to add so much mechanically, like, so many mechanics through that one mechanic, like VR mechanics, like... You know, you could do a bunch of Jedi shit. She's just calling shit over that she wants.
That was so smart to use that, right?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And maybe that's maybe how they get around the walking around.
Yeah.
Maybe you just summon whatever you need for that room until you go in the next room, but who knows?
So I'm guessing this game is going to end the moment you meet Gordon Freeman.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yeah, because I just read right there, it's in between Half-Life and Half-Life 2, so it's a prequel to Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably end as you meet him as he fucking...
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
When you'll probably get to the lab or something, and then when he comes in, that'd be cool.
All right. Well, also coming up, possibly, this is from the rumor mill here, possibly BioShock 4. More clues surface of a BioShock sequel in the works for next year. So this comes from... This is actually an article on Games Radar. They've talked about a lot of times what happens. This happened with Rockstar. There's job listings for certain positions, or Blizzard as well. But you can never tell with Blizzard because half their projects get canceled anyway. But there's been job listings and some other things that lead them to believe that there is a new BioShock game coming.
But this is without Pitchford, right? Is it Pitchford that makes it? Randy Pitchford? Is that the BioShock guy? What's his name?
Ken Levine?
Ken Levine, yeah. That's without him, right?
Yeah, I believe it would be.
Yeah. I wouldn't get too excited about it, guys.
It was really kind of scary here. Well, let's see.
It's a completely different set of people making something with the same name. So you never know. It might be good. It might be bad. It probably won't be that good, though. Not as good as Infinite.
Yeah. So there's a quote here. The position reveals that 2K is looking to build a post-narrative set of systems, quests, and player progression that gives our fanatic fangirls and fanboys more content to experiencing an ongoing live service basis. So sounds like they're trying to do some sort of live service game.
What about non-binary fans? They didn't say anything about them.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's terrible. The world we live in.
So, I don't know. It could be like a Destiny 2 type game or something like that, which doesn't seem like it would fit BioShock, but who knows?
Well, I guess if they are all about, well, it went into the infinite realities, right? So it kind of like, it kind of plays into that, where you could play different, the same things over and over with different rule sets. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the same, if
yeah,
you
like
went through
maybe narratively, you can make that work, but.
Or even mechanically, if you're going through the same dungeon over and over, but there's slightly different rule sets for that world.
Yeah, but that's not what made BioShock great. You
right.
know? Like, that's so far apart from...
I agree.
It seems risky.
What they're thinking about, besides dollar bills.
All right, next up. This is not a video game, but rather a board game. Divinity Original Sin, the board game. This is on Kickstarter right now. I don't think it's available
Holy
yet.
Shit,
they've killed their Kickstarter goal.
Crushed it.
Yeah, $160,000 was the goal. They made $730,000 with 24 days to go. And so this is really cool. I actually looked at a lot of the different parts here. I'm not sure what this cinematic or what this trailer is going to show us. Nothing great. But look at the board game itself. Like, I would totally play this if I had people to play this with.
You do. We're right here. You can call us anytime for any kind of fun.
We could barely get together to play games online. So 1 to 4 players, ages 14 plus. The game, however, they're saying each playthrough is going to be over 60 minutes.
So like it's a Monopoly type situation.
I don't know. Monopoly is...
3 days.
Fuck yeah. That game.
Like Risk. Spend a week playing that.
This is cool for sure.
How much is it?
Let's see. These are the pledges here. Pledges $120 or more. Standard edition. Is that? That seems.
Holy
that's what they're starting
shit.
At. $120.
Jesus. No wonder they made their money. Is that really true? Their first level of pledges. Oh, probably because they hit all their entry level ones.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah, because they fill up. They only have a certain amount of them.
Yeah, but that's the standard.
No. They'll run out of $5 ones.
Oh, no.
They're only going to send out so many posters or whatever it is.
I don't know, but the $120 pledge just says it gives you a copy of the board game.
Yeah, I think that's how much
it was. And many other unlocked stretch goals, so don't know what the stretch goals are.
So there's probably one without the stretch goals. That's it.
There probably used to be.
Yeah.
And there's just like...
Is there a way to see it? I know there's a way to see it.
They're basically just counting the diamond rings they're going to buy at this point. This just reminds me how much I want to buy Four Souls, which is the Binding of Isaac board game.
Hmm.
It's got like... 95% rating on Amazon.
I saw it at Target the other day.
I just haven't done it. Yeah. Was it like $40, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got to buy it. Just haven't done it.
I saw that one. I saw Fallout. I want to see what the Fallout one is, too.
This looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool.
Side quest boxes.
All right. Last up, Black Future 88.
Bobby, I didn't look at it at all. I just sent it over to you. I read 80s. I read Cyberpunk. And then myself, I read Roguelike. And I was on that girl's ass.
She's got a booty.
She's got a booty, dude. And
he's got a booty.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is definitely for me or Bobby. I sent it over to Bobby, hoping that he would buy it so I could play it off of his account. But he did not pull the trigger. It's $17.99. It's a 2D platformer. A lot of like 80s colors. They got a DeLorean up there, it looks like.
Pixelated graphics.
Yeah, pixelated
turn
graphics.
Turn on some volume here. Information is power. All yours is stored in the Codex. So yeah, very synthy.
This looks neat.
I mean, the whole weapons and upgrades and items, that looks pretty cool. But the whole side-scrolling, fast action thing, definitely not my jam.
Yeah.
Looks like a controller game.
Definitely up my alley. I will put it on my list of
maybes.
my wish list of roguelikes. I have like 5 right now, so this will be number 6. Hmm. I just wait for a good sale.
Yep, they're coming up.
Yeah, they are. A bunch of websites are having them already, early Black Friday ones, and my Humble Bundle already has one going, and
Epic already started.
Ubisoft one, too. The Ubisoft one, some games are like $5, $10, man, if you guys want to go on the Ubisoft stuff.
Bobby, on your vacation, are you going to be gaming or working more?
I don't know. It's going to be a lot of work, but that's more towards the front side. Plus, I got to do all the Thanksgiving stuff. Hopefully, I don't know. It's going to probably break even.
By all the Thanksgiving stuff, do you mean like love and cherish your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. make an appearance at the family gathering.
Yeah. Slide on through, dude. Just put on slippery shoes, slide on through, say hello, grab a bite to eat, and just slide out the back door.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some games that we have been playing this week. I'll start off by talking a little bit about GOG Galaxy 2.0 beta. So I signed up for this a while ago. This is a closed beta, and I finally got into it. This is GOG is a website, Good Old Games. This is the website that is owned by CD Projekt Red, the guys who made Red.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever knew.
Yeah, they actually say if you buy Cyberpunk here on there, and like they want you to buy here.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
because like, they don't have to pay the.
Yeah, they get all their money, so they're like, "Come on, guys! If you really support us, buy it on our platform."
Yeah. Oh, 100% of the profits go to them. As opposed
are they giving anything else though? Or like any bonus?
I don't know. There's probably some pre-purchase bonus, I'm sure. Yeah. But the same thing you get in other places.
Yeah, there's no reason not to, because you can activate your GOG games on Steam, right?
I don't think so.
I could have sworn I've done that. No?
No. Not all of them.
I really don't. It's like one of those games where I don't need it to be on Steam, because it's not multiplayer, so I can play it on GOG and I'm fine.
Yeah, gotcha. So who cares? Yeah. But GOG is a great website just for a lot of old games, because they go through a lot of work to make sure that the old games run on newer systems. So for the longest time, like, Steam will put a lot of games on their marketplace that just don't work.
They
Jedi Knight and a few the TIE Fighter games, when they put those on there,
Rogue Squadron wasn't working for me for a while, and
Shadow of the Empire did not work.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a Steam just doesn't care. They just throw that stuff up there. But on GOG, like, they have like the original manuals, like sometimes the artwork, like all this extra stuff you can download, and they have a really clean store. Like, I like the look of it. So this new GOG Galaxy 2.0, they already have a launcher, but this new one that they're working on in beta actually lets you scan. You click connect my Steam account, type in your Steam login, connect my Uplay account, type in that login. You do that for Epic. You do that for Xbox. You can do it for PlayStation Network.
So it becomes a launcher.
Pretty much. But it's very seamless. So I connected my Steam account and all my other accounts, and all my games started importing. Not just the games, but also, depending on the launcher, you can also import achievements, game time played, and also like certain abilities, like to just install games.
I'm a little confused, Bobby. You said importing. Is it just... Obviously, it's not uploading the whole game to their servers.
No. It's just what it does.
Just basically their basic. It didn't take long, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it just scans your hard drive libraries. No, not your hard drive. It's not like that. It scans your the library, your account, and then it says, okay, you own all these games, but we'll put them here in this.
Even the non-installed games.
You can add games manually, if you want. Yeah, the non-install games. Yeah, exactly, those ones. But if you have something that's not on Steam, like say it's something you actually like had on a CD or you installed some other weird way, then you can manually add it. Or like Blizzard games, you can manually add.
Steam library break it?
It crashed several times. It crashed a lot, and it took about a half an hour to import the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it did it, and once it was in there, like, they have a nice clean interface. You can look at thumbnails, or you can look at a list, and it gives you all these different categories and columns that you can see. So one that I found was really cool was year released. So I could just check that. Now I can see the year the game was released. I could sort it by year release, see all my newest games, see all my oldest games, see them in chronological order. You can sort them. You can also run filters on it. So it's just like in Excel. You could say, show me a first-person shooter from 2005. Brrr, every single game connected to all my accounts, it shows me what I have. And once you get it all imported, it's very quick.
So especially Chi was very anti all launchers, mm-hmm. and especially Epic and fucking whatever Fortnite player. Yeah. Anyway,
they don't deserve money.
And I always defended them, saying like, "How do you take down the 800-pound gorilla with that is Steam? Like, you have to like play." Mm-hmm. You don't have to play dirty, but this isn't playing dirty.
This isn't just replacing anything. This is you still have to have Steam installed,
and
you still have to have those other things installed. But this is another way to access them and sort them, and it's kind of an easier interface than some of the other ones, I think, because a lot of those other ones they've got a store attached to them as well. They got a lot of other things, and this one just is like a very bare bones way of looking at it. They don't have any shots of the list view, but that's what I really liked was the list view, because I could just see all my games listed here and then all these different categories, like what genre they were, what year they were released, like any sort of ratings, what was the critical score on or what was the score on Metacritic. Damn. You know, you can sort by that. You can run filters. So like I said, if I wanted to see, you know, show me like mid-2000s first person shooters, show me strategy games from 96, you know, like boom, I just get that like instantaneously. So I've actually been using this to launch my games now, which
surprising to you probably, right?
Yeah, I didn't expect it. Yeah, it can work with the cloud saves, like it's not like
which Epic still doesn't have, I don't think.
No, they do. Not for all games, for some of them. Yeah. But it's not going to replace anything. So if you launch a Steam game, you still see the little Steam thing pop up and say, like, launching this game. If you launch like an Epic game and it's not installed, then it pops up Epic and says you have to hit the install button. So it's just like a shortcut to all of that. But I really like the way.
This sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great, man. I think it's actually going to be a big hit when it comes out. And it's running very well in beta. I installed it initially over remote desktop, and I kept getting an error and it kept crashing. Did a little bit of Googling. Turns out, yeah, don't install it over remote desktop. So little weird random issues like that, but it's otherwise working very, very smoothly. And once everything gets imported, then yeah, it's seamless.
No, but what I'm saying, Bobby, like this is like a more subversive route of trying to take down, or not take down, but, you know, compete with Steam. Because eventually, okay, so say you buy this, you start using it, and mm-hmm. everything's running great, you're probably a little more likely to buy a game on GOG than you would on Steam.
Yeah, because you're clicking on it the same way.
Yeah,
exactly. No, totally. This is exactly. It is kind of a subversive way to get people into that GOG ecosystem, which I think is probably good, because their whole thing is like just give people what they want and don't try to manipulate them into buying things or, you know, they've just got a really good philosophy, I think.
CD Projekt Red might be the only place that I would buy a game sight unseen right now. Like everything else, like Fallout 5, it's not that I don't give a fuck. I wouldn't even guarantee that it's good or it's awesome. Or like I wouldn't get excited about Fallout 5.
I can't hear CD Projekt Red without thinking of Keanu Reeves. It's just like I hear every time I hear it, I hear him saying it. Like,
but that's because you never stop talking about Keanu or thinking about Keanu Reeves, dude.
I know, he's so cute.
So cute. Be.
Yeah. So like Dave says in chat, it's like a Pokédex of all your games.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually not that complicated, Emilio.
God, I was trying to find a picture of. You can kind of see the list view here. He doesn't have a lot of categories here, but you can see his rating, so you can rate it. It tells you what platform it's on. You can tag it if you want, but then it also has, like, what type of game it is, like action platform or whatever. But that to me is a great thing. And you can group games however you want. So you can make, like, a group of, you know, like all my games that are from Steam or all my games that are from Uplay or all these first-person shooters that I really like or all my Star Wars games. Like, you can make custom lists and stuff.
So there's
a
lot of
flexibility. Yeah, it's a great tool, and I'm just totally getting used to it. And especially now that I don't really care where my games come from, I just want to get to them quicker. Like, imagine if we had this for like TV shows. Like, I could just go to one site and just put in my Netflix password, my Hulu password, my Amazon Prime password, and then I just see all my shows.
Bobby, scrub that. We're going to be millionaires.
Apple do that with Apple TV, I think.
Do they?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a legal issue.
Yeah, Apple TV, like, they show you things that not even on Apple. mm-hmm. just things that are available on the
apps. Apple, you just grab it and you're like this, and then it'll show like which apps have it, and then you just click on it and it open up Netflix and that thing.
It's better than the other
apps. It's better than most of the other ones. Yeah.
So I'm not in the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's in the Apple thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we should just make it for like everything else.
All right. So, yeah, that is a GOG Galaxy 2.0 beta. I have no idea when they're planning on releasing that, but you can sign up for the beta. It took me almost 2 months to get in, but I highly recommend it. Let's talk a little bit about Steam Remote Play. So none of us had a chance to actually play that, but it did go live, and they've got a nice little page up here just outlining everything that it can do, and it's pretty impressive. And from what I've heard from other people, it works very well. So all you got to do is just launch your game, and you just right-click on someone else who has the game and go Remote Play together, and they accept, and boom, they're in. There's even like a little voice chat thing where you can adjust the volume and everything. Through Steam. Yeah, through Steam.
That's cool, man. I like all of it. Like I said, the best thing about this is the taking off the multiplayer pressure from small developers. That's the best thing that's going to come out of this. Chad used to say that 50% of development costs and time goes into the multiplayer. And so something like that. Oh, what is that game? Bobby, the one we were just looking at. Yeah, what's that in the background?
Spelunky.
Yeah, like Spelunky fucking multiplayer. That's awesome.
One of life's greatest pastimes.
Oops. Yeah, that would be great. Overcooked, the first one didn't have online multiplayer. Yep. Cuphead, like we were mentioning earlier, that's a great game. And so many games are going to benefit from this. And there's a lot of games that you just can't. You can't even play, or you wouldn't even buy because you don't have people in close proximity to play with. Like, most people don't have that luxury.
That's funny. They use portal gun to connect the controllers. That's really cute.
What?
The guy shot a portal.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and they threw the controllers through the portal. It looked really cute.
Oh, Portal 2 doesn't have online. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Excuse me.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll get it. Yeah, we should really try to actually play this and have some personal experience with
it. Does it seem like all the launchers are getting their shit together at the same time? Oh, except for fucking...
What are you talking about? Epic launcher sucks.
It's so they just don't have a lot.
It's like whatever.
It's getting better. So, they give away pretty good free games.
The EA one. That. The EA one is the worst one. Well, I mean, just...
Origin?
Yeah, Origin is like... It crashes, and it just doesn't download shit.
That's your computer.
It's hard to... No. She was having the same issues.
She's computer.
It. Yeah, but how much do you guys use EA?
A lot now that I'm playing Jedi Fallen Order.
I play Apex like every other day.
All right.
It's your computer, bro. Fix it. Reinstall.
Yeah. So.
I tried turning it off, then on.
Emilio, did you get a chance to play any more Legend of Bumbo?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I probably got an hour and a half of gaming time. And when I got back from Utah, I was like, you know, I had just driven for 30 hours or so, and, you know, over 3 days. And I was like, oh, I just need to unwind. So I played Binding of Isaac for that hour and a half, I think. And then, or for about an hour. And then I played some Tabs. But I didn't really play Tabs. What happened was, it's one of the games that I show off to people when people are like, you know, show me what you're playing these days. So I think any guy, I say guy because like I've never been a girl, so I don't know, but I don't think they for the most part play soldiers in the backyard with like little figurines. And that's what this is for me. It's like, that's exactly what it is. It's in my review of it. Like, I feel like I'm setting up my little soldier man, like I used to do with all my G.I. Joes, but now they come to life and they fight each other and it's hilarious. Like, ridiculous physics, stupid things happen all the time. There's a new update yet again. They did a Halloween update and it came with its own army. And to say there's only at the time there was only like 8 armies, so them adding another army just for Halloween that stayed was fucking awesome. There's these crazy looking. I don't know. You got to check it out. There's Skeleton Warriors and stuff like that that came out with them. I don't think you'll find it, Bobby. Maybe. Probably. Oh, that guy right there. Go down. That thing right there. That thing is fucking creepy, man.
Like Slenderman.
Yeah, it's like Slenderman, and it has tentacles that go out and stab everything. They're so fucking powerful. Overpowered, even. But yeah, still loving the game. And my non-gamer friend that sat down and played, you know, I always start them at the beginning. Maybe by level 3, he's like, this is fucking awesome.
I'm going to wait until they add the multiplayer.
And if you look at the, that's the weirdest thing about this game. Like, but there you go. Like, that's how hard multiplayer is, that yeah. They've been avoiding it. But if you look at the reviews, overwhelmingly positive, 14,000 reviews. So, or more than that, 19,000.
95%, 99%.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. That's how good this game is, guys. So do yourself a favor and pick it up for $15 or whatever it is.
It would be so cool to play this multiplayer, man. Just setting up my little guy.
Yeah.
I don't feel just...
Yeah.
There's like so much of it is very random, but then it's also very strategic in certain parts because like, you know, even though it might get to a point where like they're just kind of doing some funky little thing and like the last two and that part's random.
Yeah.
But you can still get it to a way where
for sure
you can totally have an advantage or you did something better than the other guy.
You're raising your odds of winning by being strategically minded. So like you can have a 75% chance of winning because you're strategically better, but these little guys are retards. They walk into rivers, they drown themselves, they kill themselves all the time. Like, you never know really what they're going to do, but you can just weigh the odds in your favor.
Yeah.
Better.
It's just crazy how, like, it would change so much once this becomes, well, if, you know, the multiplayer ever does come out. Because when you're playing against a computer, you already know what's going to happen in that stage, right? Because, like, it's never a random generated stage. It's always, like, this is, stage one. And it's,
right.
The guys were always set up that way.
Yeah.
But when you're playing someone, you know, you have no clue what's going on. Sure. That's fucking crazy. Because it's, like, I wonder how this guy's going to... Imagine, like, ooh. You know, maybe you don't see anything
blind.
They're doing.
Blind would
yeah,
be great.
Blind. Yeah, blind. Yeah, dude. That'd be super cool.
Like, you
cool.
can't see the other side. Mm-hmm. And you both have the same amount of points that you can spend.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and there's a new thing that you can do now. There's different formations you can make. You can make circles now. So you can make, like, the 300 shield dome thing if you wanted to do that. Yeah. And then, like, the enemy team, your team, could surround my guys, and I would have the inner circle, and you would have the outer circle, like that. So it's just getting better and better. I'm really glad that these guys are doing well because, you know, when you read people's like updates and it's handwritten, obviously, you can tell how much they care about their job and like how much they're into it. These people are super into what they're doing.
It's $15, right?
Yeah, it's $15.
That's worth it. I'm gonna get it.
Totally worth it.
So much fun.
Oh, and I've been playing stuff off the workshop. But, you know, obviously, as soon as new shit comes out, I beat it in, like, an hour. And then the workshop stuff has really been keeping me busy. So, like, there's always content.
Yeah, that's what's nice about having the workshop.
Yep.
I want to see what this lightsaber battle's about here, but it's not loading.
Yeah. To my knowledge... Oh, yeah, they put in...
That's awesome.
Wow. Okay. It's like a Darth Maul type lightsaber.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the two blades.
Oh, now there's combos now people are doing. So there's these cheerleaders that like raise the speed of your character by like, I don't know, 2% per cheerleader.
Ow.
Like literal cheerleaders, right?
Yeah.
They look male, but they're like cheerleaders. And then there's this like, there's this thing. There's this guy that like has a bow. And he shoots it pretty fast. Anyway, there's this combo where people put 20 cheerleaders behind this one dude. And it's just fucking insane. It's just like nonstop. It's kind of like a Terminator 2 or whatever with the minigun. Mm-hmm. But it's with like a bow and arrow. And it's just people are finding out things like that. And it adds more depth to it. Anyway, it's awesome.
That's Trump versus Hillary. That is hilarious.
All right. Speaking of lightsabers, I've been playing some more Jedi Fallen Order. So I've been going back and forth on this game.
Look at that segue, dude.
I know, right?
Pro, man.
Dude.
I started playing this, and after about, I had 5 or 6 hours. I was like, okay, this is good and pretty good. You know, like some of the complaints that I had initially are starting to fade away. You know, I feel like I have a little more agency and I can improvise a little bit more in the battles. You know, I can force push people or groups of people if I spec into it. And I don't always have to like do the automated response to whatever challenge they throw at me. But then, I don't know, then like an hour or two after that, I was just like, I kind of fell back into the same rut. And I don't know. I just don't know what to make of this game. Like, I want to get through it, but I'm not like at work thinking like, man, I can't wait till I get home and play that game. You know, like there's no drive to play this game for some reason. I don't know. I don't get it, man.
Remember, everybody, this is the guy who doesn't like the Joker. So take
that
for...
I didn't like it. I just didn't find it as amazing as everyone else did.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like this is Jedi Fallen Order. Like, no one's going crazy over this game, man. Like, who's out there, like, oh, losing their minds over this game?
No, it's got an 82, I think. I think it's right.
Sounds about right.
It's just, but everyone that tells me, talks to me about this game goes, best Star Wars game in so long, and they're like,
that might be
true. A very high bar, though. I mean,
yeah, when's the last good Star Wars game?
Force Unleashed was pretty well received, like the first one. People really like that.
I mean, people are going to hate me for this, but the current Star Wars game, the multiplayer one.
I mean, it's good now, but it was
It's good now. It's at a good place now. I feel like
the single player was really bad, though.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was all right.
Oh, dude, no, it's.
It's
bad.
Did you play it?
I don't think it was bad. I thought it was just like there.
Yeah, it's
there. It's like, all right, I can play this for now.
I mean, at least it was short. It was like, what, 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah.
This
I never came back to it. It was just when it happened, I played it, and then it was just like, oh, I'll come back to it later. I never did.
Yeah.
And I don't miss it, and I don't think I would ever finish it. But the multiplayer was always fun. I liked the Battlefront. It was fun for me. I don't understand why people were so bitch so much about it.
That was the whole loot box.
The loot box thing, yeah.
Yeah. And aside from that,
I spent a little money on loot boxes here and there sometimes. So I didn't complain that much.
But it wasn't the game. It was really the way it was marketed that really killed it.
Yeah.
Really?
Because, like, and now you play it now and it's just fun. But I don't have like a. I like playing my games with a group of people. At least some people that just like to jump in. But
I think it's fun for a short period of time, though. I don't think you could spend too much time playing that game. Mm. Like, it's, I don't know.
I could spend a good hour and a half to 2 hours.
You've never played it. You've never played the multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played that.
The multiplayer?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm playing Battlefield. Fucking...
Yeah, I played the space battles. I played ground battles. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It feels like I'm playing Battlefield.
I'll take away that. Me being upset. I've always been upset with you for never playing it. I thought
And then I played all the way through the single player.
The most fun I ever had on that was playing the multiplayer. Like, it's basically death battle, but you play only as the heroes, like the ones you want to play as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you don't have to unlock them or anything. They're just there, so you can play as Palpatine. You can play as all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I played as the lizard bounty hunter.
Yeah,
he's
Bosk.
Fucking dope, dude. He's so much fun to play. He sets up traps. You can put like proximity mines, and you also have like the triggered mines, and your gun is like the one, like the demo man from TF2.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome.
I wonder if they're adding more stuff because the movie coming out next month.
Oh, and then his ultimate is like going into Predator mode where you can see like people in red. He's fucking really fun to play.
Wow. Well, let me talk about a game that I played this week that I did enjoy, 80 Days. So,
I can't believe you didn't like it. It's so weird. Let me talk about a game I did like, though, guys. Not the one that everyone else is playing. Let me talk about a game that no one knows what the fuck it is.
I've heard really good games about this game, or really good things about this
game. I've never heard of it.
And there's, I think there's a sequel now, right?
So the guys who made this made another game called Heaven's Vault.
Okay.
We talked about it when it first came out, and I was like, oh, this is the 80 Days guys. This has got to be a good game. Went on the wish list. Totally forgot about it. Then in that interview with Sam Barlow, he mentioned Heaven's Vault as like a really good game, and I was like, thank God he reminded me. And I planned to get that eventually, but I was like, dude, I got 80 Days sitting there. I bought this game a long time ago when I heard about it on another podcast, and they said it was amazing, and I just never played it, and I forgot about it. I think it was only mobile at first, and then it eventually came to Steam in, well, it says 2015, so yeah, it's been out for a while. But it's been a while, and I was just like, you know what? Like, this is the perfect time to check out that game while it's on my mind before I forget again. And it's really good. Like, the writing is really good, and there's a lot of writing, and it's written in that old English. So this takes place, you know, it's like Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah, it takes place
like turn of the century, you know, late 1800s. And
are you in a weather balloon, or I mean a hot air balloon?
You, all sorts of travel here. Okay. Trains, cars, elephants. Hot air balloons,
whatever.
Yeah, zeppelins, and you're in kind of a fantasy world as well. Like, there's these things called automatons, which are like robots.
Yeah,
and a lot of weird kind of steampunk machines in there. But the writing is so good because it's written like in, I'd kind of compare it to like Sherlock Holmes or something. You're like, you play as kind of a servant to this English gentleman, and he's always like, you know, just very prim and proper and talks like that. And then you're a French guy, and you know, you guys are all about, you know, being proper gentlemen and everything. And so the writing is pretty funny, but you carve your own path across the world, and based on like dialogue options that you choose, and also items that you choose to buy and character traits that you develop, it opens up different routes. And there's just so many. At first I thought this game was very simple, cause I was like, okay, mobile game, not a whole lot to do here. You probably just go around the world and it's a good story. Like, that's all I'm expecting. But there's actually a lot of moving parts to this. Like, you have money, you have a health meter that you've got to keep up. You've got to keep your relationship up with the guy that you're with. And all that stuff can determine what routes you find out about. All these different options come up. Like, you know, if you have a character trait, like you're kind of rowdy or, if you're suave or something, then maybe you'll get some more information. You make a decision what you want to do while you're traveling. Like, oh, do I talk to my guy? Do I give him a nice clean shave and make him happy and improve my relationship with him? Or do I get drunk with the sailors and then maybe find out about like another way to get to, you know, like a shortcut I can get through Bermuda. And oh, I happen to have this item, so I get a discount when I take this path by car.
Like, are you getting I'm getting a little bit of FTL vibe, just a little because of the,
yeah, but no combat.
Right.
Yeah, maybe take out the combat.
Yeah.
There's so many routes, and it's all, I had a really hard time when I was not in the United States. So the route I took, you start in London, and I went down just above Africa, kind of went through the Middle East. And then I went, I avoided Russia, went through China, went through Japan. And then there's a mutiny that went wrong crossing the Pacific Ocean. So then I kind of got rerouted, and it was sending me way down south. But I really wanted to go through the United States. And once I got there, I found it way easier to navigate because I'm like, okay, you know.
It's your shit.
Yeah, I know where these cities are that they're talking about. And around,
did you drive to your own house?
No, I didn't. Well, I went through San Francisco and then kind of cut a path along the southern route, then back up to New York. Yeah, it was real out of the way. But
so is there an overarching story that's going on other than
it's the plot of Around the World in 80 Days. You have a bet with a gentleman's bet about a race to go around the world in 80 days. I have not completed it, though. I've made it, so one playthrough takes about 3 hours. I didn't make it in time. I did 89 days and I lost it. I lost the race. So at the end he says, well, I guess we got to try again or something like that. I don't know. It's obviously written much better than that. So then you try again. So I'll probably give it another shot. I mean, 3 hours for like the whole playthrough, and most of that is reading. You got to be okay with reading, but
it's good. I bet it depends how different the second playthrough is to the first, whether or not you're going to play a third. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, he said, when he was saying like, oh, we should try again, he said maybe a more southerly route. So I don't know if that's the game telling me like, hey, you should have gone a different path. But really, there's so many variables.
Yeah.
Like, I could buy items, you know, that make my guy work better if I'm crossing oceans, or I could buy items that work better in other ways. You can also buy items where they say like, hey, this will sell really well if you happen to be going by this town. So, you know, if like that is where I'm headed. I don't know. There's so many different things that can happen.
I like it. Although I kind of like it more for mobile, personally.
This would be a great mobile game.
Yeah.
This would be a fantastic mobile game. Like, just to pull this out and like go through parts of it every now and then.
Yeah.
And it's only, let's see, it's $12.99 on Steam, but it's been on sale, let's see, for $3 on the Humble Store. Yeah. This game is not expensive. You can find it for pretty cheap.
Cool.
Yeah.
Glad you're liking it.
Yeah. I wouldn't compare it too much to Disco Elysium. Disco Elysium is more about character traits and what's going on with you, and this is way more about like external stuff, I think. But it is, if the whole reading part is very similar, because there's a lot of reading, but it's really good. So
well written.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. And at some point, I'm going to play Heaven's Vault for sure.
Cool.
All right. Oh, we got a subscription that I... Oh, that was from 3 days ago. My bad.
Thanks, Bobby. Oh, because I was playing... Oh, did you change what...
Yeah, I did. I adjusted that.
Gotcha.
All right. Five Nights at Freddy's VR. Oh, boy.
Dude.
As soon as I read that, I was like, fuck right off. Like,
all right, so...
I can't play the normal low-res game.
So here's the thing, like... If when Half-Life Alyx comes out and you guys, if we don't have a VR yet or you want to use like the Index, you won't be able to use it unless you play this game at least once. That's the only rule I'm going
to
have.
That's the bar we have to set.
Yeah. So.
Wait, you've played this already?
Yeah.
Wow, the reviews are super good.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I got my Index, when I got my Index, I bought, what, like probably two or three games, because I already had a couple from when I had the Vive. And I bought this one because it was like, you know, best reviewed and everyone was like, you know, fucking awesome. This is probably the worst fucking game I own. I played it.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been so scared.
He doesn't have the words.
In my whole fucking entire life.
So is it just Five Nights at Freddy's, but in VR?
Like, so have you played Five Nights at Freddy's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All of them in VR.
Oh, all of anyone you want?
All the, yeah.
Okay.
You can play any 1 through 4 or 5. I don't forget what number.
Because, I mean, those games were, how much are they charging for this VR?
$29.99. Believe.
And those games individually are probably
they were like $8. $5.
Yeah. They're like $5. Like, so just all of them, even the one when you're at home, even the side story one, even the night one.
Okay, I got a question. So the first one that I played, you know, you're pushing the little buttons to see the different views.
That's the one I played today. I got to the fourth night and I lost. And I just so here's the thing.
Are you shaking?
Okay. Wait, go with your question.
Were you shaking?
Fucking holy shit. My brother heard me scream the first time and he ran into my room and he was just like, "Are you okay? What the fuck are you doing?" And he saw me with the VR headset sitting down in a chair and he's just, and I was just like, "Fuck, man. Scared the shit out of me." Oh my god. All right. Hold up. All right. I'm going to go for another one. He's like, all right, I'll watch you play. And he was watching on the screen. He was just like chilling. And he was hearing everything, right? Because I had it, the sound mirroring.
Okay.
So so when he came into this gameplay, I mean, when I started playing, I looked around. Because they hid coins in all the games. And you collect them. And when you get coins in the games, you get...
probably unlock a game, right, or something.
No, you get like little prizes. Like if you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you collect coins or whatever, tickets, and you get like a basketball, a whistle.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you get them all from every game, that probably unlocks something.
Yeah, it's right now. I got a basketball.
Okay.
And I was throwing it around.
Is it a sweet basketball?
It doesn't bounce. I was like, oh, cool.
Do you take it off sweet jumps?
Nope.
All right.
So I guess the first part was just. It was really cool sitting there in the control room, right? In the security room. It was really neat because you can touch everything. And I was just grabbing everything. And I was looking at it. I was finding coins, fucking secret things. And you're hearing the first message. I don't know. Did you ever play the first one on your phone?
No, not.
I think everyone played it on their phone, right? I think
it was really popular on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you start hearing the message. Hey, what's up, man? It's your first night. Just going to let you know about, you know, these fucking robots. They kind of walk on their own at night.
Yeah.
And I was just, and also I was like.
Wait, had you not played this ever?
I have.
Oh, okay.
So I was like reliving it.
Right.
But I was in VR and I know what happens. So I was just like, oh shit. So I'm looking around my room and I'm just looking everywhere and I'm just like, all right. And, you know, the Index has really good sound, man. Their fucking headphones are fucking... Well, they're not headphones, but whatever, the little speaker things that they have on, they're awesome. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, all right, you know, I remember night one. But I was messing around with it. I was, like, pressing everything, closing the door, open the night, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like... And I looked over, and, like, it had just started, and I was already at 10% battery, and I was like, fuck my life. Like, I'm screwed. Whatever, I'll let it play out. I want to see how the first scare is.
Right, right. Which is, by the way, a really good to shield yourself from getting super scared later.
Exactly.
You just run towards the monster.
Exactly.
Get it over with.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And so I'm waiting there. Lights turned off the moment the battery died. So it just, you know, fast forwards to just, like, I'm looking around and I'm just like, all right, it's all dark in here. And then I just see little eyes just fucking open up and a little smile. And I was like, okay. And it went completely dark. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I was looking around, nothing. And then just, slash, you know, just jump scare right in your face. Big ass fucking, you know, animatronic. Scared the shit out of me. I yelled really loud, goosebumps. It was fun. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm ready. I can do this. And no, it got worse, man. It got so much fucking worse. Because now I'm playing it. Now I'm looking at the cameras. Now I'm just like, oh, this room's audio only. And I'm like, and I'm listening. I'm like, is he in here? I'm like, God, the motherfucker. And I was just like, okay, cool. All right. And I'm just like waiting. And I'm like, all right, cool, got it. And then I locked one door and then look over to my right, and then the other one fucking like just walks over and I see him just smile at me, and I'm like, I got shivers and goosebumps. Oh, and I Jesus. Turned it off and I'm like, all right, good. And I beat the first night. Second night again, they're getting faster, closing the door. When they get close, they go far. I'm trying to see where he is. He's like, you know, super far away. Then I swear to God, he teleports and then he's closer to me again. Doing it again, I beat second night, beat third night. Fourth night. And that one was hard. I mean, because I'm, you know, fighting back and forth. And then it was like 5 o'clock, and it was just, dude, it was seconds, man. Seconds.
You got to make it to 6 a.m., right?
Yeah. It was seconds, dude. And
just out of nowhere.
Lights turned off. And I'm just like, go fuck yourself. And it scared me again, but like I yelled even louder than the first time, because I was so invested. I was like pressing the buttons and I was just making sure. You get so into it, and immersed. It's VR. You get so immersed, man. Yeah. Like it's like I was on night four, and like I just, you know, you just, I forgot where
you,
I was.
Yeah, you were the guy.
I was the security place. Guy yeah. at the pizza yeah, place, yeah, fucking yeah. messed up Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh man,
and. It's that one scared me so much. I was just like, no. I can't.
Did you put your brother on it?
I can't. No, he saw me yell and scream so loud. He was like, I probably wouldn't get scared, man. But you know what? I don't really want to play that. I don't like those kind of games anyway. It looks boring. Like, bullshit, dude. You saw how scared I got.
Would you say the mechanics are easy enough for a non-gamer to be able to play?
Anyone can sit down and play this.
Yeah.
Anyone. That's so awesome. This is the
game you're going to show off.
Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing, though. I played it. I will never, ever, ever in my life sit down and play this shit again.
Yeah. Wow, that bad.
It's so uncomfortable. It's super uncomfortable, man. I'm not happy. I'm not happy in there. I'm not excited. Like, yeah, all right, fuck these guys. I'm about to close doors on these guys. No, it was like, just end. Just scare me.
Close doors all day. Don't even know.
I was like, how do I charge this battery?
Doing switch hands, dude. I can.
It wasn't fun. It just was not fun. I'm curious because I've only played the first Five Nights at Freddy.
You going to try the other ones?
And that's, I kind of want to try them. That's,
I think the other ones, I don't think they're as good, but whatever.
Yeah, so that's why.
That's a guess.
I kind of want to try them, because like I did play the first one on my phone, and then it was just like, you know, a couple times trying to beat it, got scared a couple times. I'm like, you know, that's all I need with this game. I don't need it anymore in my life. And, but this, dude, it's
so
best, worst game ever like for VR.
That's what I was gonna say. Wrap it up. Like, is it good or bad? But it's both.
It's great. It's very immersive, very fun. It looks good. It looks really good. I'm guessing each one looks better because, you know, the graphics kind of get better each one. But I thought it's great. I am gonna try the other ones. I want to scare the shit out of people. I want people to sit down and become a security guy. It's really cool. But I got into the whole VR stuff because, you know, Alex got me all excited. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna play some VR games for this week. And I played this, And then
you don't even want to put your headset on anymore.
Yeah, nah, dude. And then after that, I played some Beat Saber, which, you know, we all know about Beat Saber, and everyone's played Beat Saber. We've talked about Beat Saber here a bunch of times. And
have you ever been able to put the whatever songs you want on? Did you do that mod?
I modded it finally.
Okay. I tried it once. I couldn't do it.
I modded it. It's so easy. It's a launcher, man. It's
Okay.
It's just a little. I just went on the website. I honestly Googled Beat Saber mod.
Right.
And there's two, and then one's like simple, one's a little bit more complex, and then I just pre-downloaded all the.
The songs?
All the songs, and just loaded up Beat Saber, and it was great.
This is one of those things where, like, I think they got hurt by, it's not being greedy, but the business model they went with. You know, they had a DLC with, was it Fallout Boy or something like that? And it came with six songs, and it was like $15.
It's like $15.
And it's just like, nobody's going to do that, dude.
It's $15 for the Imagine Dragons music pack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they have, like, Monster Cat, like, a couple songs. It's too expensive, dude. $2 a song.
Yeah, $2 a song.
How much do they charge for that Just Dance? Because you can buy songs as DLC in that game, right?
You could also unlock them through playing, though.
Too. Yeah. They don't give you much. Yeah. I think that's a bad thing about Beat Saber, which is the one thing I didn't like. Because I saw that it has, like, a single player, like, a career mode kind of deal.
It's not like you can listen to these songs in your car. Like, you're not buying it for one application. They should be like 20 cents each.
They want to make money off of it. They want to do all these things with like these little packs, but they are expensive.
They're too expensive. So obviously people are just going to mod it.
Yeah, but dude, Beat Saber is the workout, dude. It's the fucking workout.
Do you remember when JP Diddy was playing it?
Yeah.
He looked like a goddamn gymnast.
Yeah. So, like, I've never put that much time into Beat Saber to where, like, you know, I played half an hour, but I was just playing, you know, I would start some easy, some hard, some medium, with normal, or whatever. And this was, like, the first time where I really, really got into it. And so hard is just, you know, it's not even hard for me anymore. So all I'm playing is just expert, and some songs are just...
That's expert for regular people.
Yeah, yeah. So this experts are fun and, it's fun. It's, but dude, I played for like 2 hours straight. I'm still fucking sore. Like I'm sore. My legs are sore from crouching. Like I got a good sweat going on. Like I went downstairs, had a fucking Gatorade, some pre-workout, dude. Went back upstairs. I was like, let's go.
What are you doing? Practicing my sweep dance moves.
Yeah. No, dude. I was thinking like, what if I put weights into the wands, right? Into like the index.
You don't
like,
have to put them in the wands, dude. They have wrists.
And weights. Like, And then, like, I can grab some, like, barbells, too, some 20-pounders.
You're going to come in all yoked, dude.
Fucking Beat Saber, dude. I mean, it's dope, it's true. Dude. But, dude, it's a fucking workout. Today, when, like, hey, dude, I just finished working out. I'll be there in a bit. And then Emil's like, hey, how was your workout? Dude, Beat Saber was awesome, man. I played for a good hour. But,
do you know Paul?
Yeah.
So he has the tiniest ankles ever, and I bought him ankle weights for his birthday because I thought it would be funny, but they were like $15. You can put them on your wrist and fucking
dude. Honestly, I feel like that would be cool, but no, I actually want to get good at it. I want to get good. I was realizing how they're all patterns. The thing about when they're modded songs, you know, people make these.
Yeah, it's not as good, right?
They're not. Some are not as great. Some are like I forgot what song it was. I think it was like the AC/DC one. The fucking, oh my God, what's it called? The most popular one.
Hell's Bells?
No, another one. Come on, guys. No, not that one.
No.
But like, it was
Thunderstruck.
It was Thunderstruck, yes. It was, it was so bad. It was like, and I was into the beat, and I was just like, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, it wasn't going to the bit.
It wasn't, man. I was just hitting shit for the fuck of it.
I've seen people do Rap sense. God a lot, and I think it was done really well.
I downloaded it just to try it. It's Expert Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
FUD. No. Yeah. That's not happening. No.
That's insane.
Well, my favorite one was Thriller. Because Thriller was it's on hard, but it was like it makes you dance. Like the way you're supposed to hit them, it makes you move.
It's really well crafted.
Yeah. It's super cool. So like and then like the ducking and like
this has gotta be good for your brain, right?
Ah, dude, it's so much fun.
If you keep going up in skill.
Yeah, dude. But I would imagine. It's funny how you just get so used to it. Like before I was like reading everything. I was like, and I mess up. Then later on I started learning the patterns. Each song has patterns. Like you look at them and I would think, oh, it's all random shit. But then when you do, like, once you get the rhythm, you're just like, oh, right here, I'm just doing circles like this. Here, I'm doing this and this. And then, like, you realize the patterns for the songs.
Right.
And then, like, by, like, the 10th time I'm playing it, I'm like, oh, I know this part of my memory now. So it's just like, all right, like, pattern. I got this. And then, oh, new shit. Until you figure out the pattern. It's really cool.
Did you didn't pick up Pistol Whip?
No, so I wanted to buy that today, and it was like $25 or $30.
Yeah,
and I think when we brought it up, it was like $14.
Oh, so you'll know it'll go back.
Yeah, so I know it's gonna go back down. So I was like, I'll wait on it, and then I looked for it on other websites too, like CD Key or GTA or.
When's the winter sale, Bobby? Usually around Christmas.
Well, there's gonna be a Thanksgiving sale.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully, because I do want Pistol Whip. I watched the video again of someone playing it. It looks really fun.
Cool. Really God, funny. I gotta get VR.
It's fun, dude. It's actually just all you gotta do is
you can find our Patreon on our website, thealgaming.net.
Patreon, send us some biddies, get some subs in. but yeah, I want to get more into VR games, man. After playing these two, I was having so much fun. So I never finished the virtual reality one.
Oh, that one's fun.
So I never finished that one. So I re-downloaded it, and then I re-downloaded Trover, so I can finally finish Trover. So I'm thinking I'm going to finish Trover this week, and then also the virtual.
What's reality. The other one, Bobby? Is it like it's called Office Space or something weird? Accounting.
Yeah. I downloaded that today too.
Okay, I would play them in order because they get perpetually better.
So like Accounting Plus is selling. That one's like $7 or $10, I think. Mm. So I want to play that. And I was looking at other games, and like I want something with a good story. I want to feel if I can actually handle a game that progresses like a good.
It doesn't exist yet. That's why we got to talk to that VR guy with his VR game. And how I'm really curious about how the announcement of Alex has affected his project. Obviously, you're going to still keep doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kind of made what he was going for, you know, like a fully.
Well, they have. What's it? Well, if you look at Arizona Sunshine, that's progressing, and you go back and forth because you end up finding a battery that opens up this door.
Sure.
And so like, and you're like,
but it's not a story. Yeah, I don't think.
It's a story.
Okay.
It's just you get stranded, and you're like zombies,
and then he grabbed a battery,
and you know, so it's kind of Arizona Sunshine. I got towards the very end when I had the vibe, and then. The other day, I was like, oh, I'm going to play it again. I think my save was destroyed. So it's gone. So I'm like, from the beginning.
It's incredible how accurate the shooting was in that game.
Yeah, right.
I found it. Very last thing. The reason I didn't play any games this week is that I was traveling the entire week. I drove to Utah for a job, Salt Lake City, and then came back. Not much to say about Utah except for it has a lot of rocks. It's just like the whole state. I drove across the state twice. It's a city, and then it's 4 hours of driving filled with rocks, and then it's another city. Salt Lake City, I've been there twice now. Not, I wasn't there long enough to speak on it, really. And then I came back, and then immediately, like, I didn't know how long it was going to take, so I kind of cleared my schedule. And then Sam's brother is like, dude, let's go to fucking Joshua Tree. I've been telling you for months. And I really looked at my schedule. And I was like, I think I can squeeze it in. And then I convinced Sam to go, and we just kind of went to Joshua Tree. It was my first time there. It's a 3-hour drive for us. It's pretty in its own way. You know, there's a lot of, have you been there, Bobby?
A very long time ago.
It's just a lot of big rocks in the desert. And they look weird because they look out of place, like how these things get here. And you can take there's various trails. It's really easy camping. It's that kind of camping where you get off the highway, you get on a little road, and then you park on the side of the road, and then you park right there. So, like, your truck is, like, right next to your campsite. But you really do feel like you're kind of out there, because 10 feet in any direction is pretty much desert wilderness. We saw rabbits, hawks, stuff like that. They're non-native fungus was awesome. I think that's something that it's almost like, you know, you talk to somebody about going to Joshua Tree and they're like, oh yeah, you're going out there to do mushrooms. And so that was cool. You should do them once a year.
You guys do mushrooms?
Not you kids. Yeah. It was awesome.
Wait. Oh, talk about that later.
Yeah. Where'd you get them?
No. So I was listening.
They came from the earth, bro.
I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast with Paul Stamets.
Oh, dude. How good is that episode?
Dude, I want to do a heroic dose.
Oh, you should.
Have you ever done a heroic dose? That's 5 grams, man.
Yes, but I overdosed. My body started like sweating it out instead of like I didn't really, but I guess I was just as high as I should have been. Yeah, it's one of these things where like you hit the reset button. That's what I call it. Like you reset your life. So you forget everything, or I forgot everything. And then I had to relearn everything again within the 5 hours. So I was like, why do I go to work? And why do I eat that? And then why do I do this? And then I would answer my own questions and then really break down life. And then the stuff that like didn't make sense, I just cut out of my life. So every time, the one time I did heroic dose, I really corrected a lot of things that I was doing incorrectly. So
that's the reason why I kind of want to do that right now. Like I was listening to the podcast, and you know, I've done the regular like 2 grams.
Yeah,
you know,
be fun.
Just see if it's fun.
Yeah,
you know. Well, I've done it twice, but one was like, you know, one was just cool and it just lasted a little while, and the other one was just very
scary. Damn,
it was a little scary.
Yeah,
because it was the first time I've actually taken that much. It was just like 2 grams, but it was really. It was life changing a little bit. So now that I hear about, you know, what the heroic dose is and doing 5 grams, and you know, people say it changes you and it makes you a better person. It's incredible.
If we sound crazy, just listen to the Paul Stamets. Yeah. We don't have time to go into this, but listen to the Paul Stamets episode and he's done it twice and both of them were good. I would even go back and listen to the first one.
Just with the new one, you listen to it. It's something else.
It's really impressive. And not just talking about psychedelic. He's a licensed mycologist.
Yeah,
and so he knows crazy amounts.
Talks about lion's mane mushrooms and other mushrooms that you should like, you know, take on the regular that connect your like your neural waves and all this stuff. It's so cool, dude. Mushrooms are awesome.
The only way to get neurogenesis to regrow neutrons. What am I trying to say? What'd you just say? What was the word?
I forgot. Any shrooms.
What do you call it, Bobby? The connections between...
like the neural waves? No, not neural waves. The
neurons.
Neurons.
It's the only way to grow neurons is lion's mane and something else.
You get like 20% back of your fucking of your brain growth.
Yeah.
You
get the 20% which we've killed with alcohol.
It was, yeah. You but know. That's awesome, you know? Like,
at least there's a way.
Yeah,
listen to it.
Yeah, fungi.com.
Damn. Yeah, that's his website. Yeah,
we should get sponsored by them. Hey,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah, I would love some lion's mane.
Look it up with some lion's mane, bro.
Yeah. And yeah, so that went on a weird tangent.
So that's cool. That's dope.
Bobby's like, we got to fill time. We're really low on stuff.
Yeah, I never say that.
Oh, wait, are we having
we'll fill it with illicit drugs.
Are we having the intermission?
Yeah, this is it. So this is we're going to start training to take intermission so I don't get up in the middle and then I ask the same questions that were asked.
Yeah, right that before. Always happens. Like, I do it,
and it's kind of rude because I always wait for, like, the 80 days of the show to come and then I walk out. It's rude.
No, like, I get back, like, because there's times I come back and you're talking about something and you already hit that point and I'm like, fuck, I missed it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk about it a little
bit. Yeah.
So I think we're going to try an intermission.
Yeah, so this is our first intermission. We're also going to try something new later in the show, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back.
Yeah. All right, I'll leave the stream running, but I'm just going to cut the audio.
Yep.
And we're back.
I'm so chewing.
So I'm guessing you didn't get to play any Rogue Legacy this week, Ray?
Who?
Rogue Legacy.
Oh, shit. forgot about Rogue Legacy. I forgot. Damn it. You know what? I'm going to play tonight. I'm going to play fucking Rogue Legacy tonight.
Sure, buddy.
No, I am. I got, I don't know. It's just, I have a week. Today's my last day to game as much as I want. And then tomorrow I need to.
Hopefully I'll have some time. Should we do mine?
Nah. Tomorrow I got to edit. I got to edit some videos tomorrow that, you know,
yeah,
we got to finish.
Yeah. Been a while.
Been a while.
All right. Well, let's talk about some news. First up, Rockstar's next game could be rumored, could be the rumored Project Medieval.
Yes. It's so crazy because I thought it was going to be Grand Theft Auto 6. That's what everyone, you know, everyone thought. Grand Theft Auto 6, and it, Grand Theft Auto 6 rumor.
Which is probably in production.
It probably is. And they're saying Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be like 80s or 70s, maybe. It's going to be old.
70s would be good.
Yeah, right.
Especially dovetailing off of that big movie, Tarantino movie.
Which one? Oh, the
Once Upon a
Time. Yeah, Once Upon a Time. So that would be really cool. Good. Yeah.
Because, did you ever play the original Grand Theft Autos?
Yeah, I played them all, I think.
Like the top down?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, no. I never played the OG, London OG. One. London?
Yeah, so they had a London one. They had the original and the London one, and I think the second one, Grand Theft Auto 2. The third one was the first time they went.
Yeah, and that was New York City?
New York City. Well, Liberty City.
Liberty City.
Yeah.
Fictional.
Yeah.
Fictional New York City.
Yeah. But, so they did that 70s thing there because Vice City was in the 80s, and that Vice City was one of my favorites. Because I think it was just the music that made it so fucking awesome. But it was cool, you know, because you thought Tony Montana, and you thought movies and all that stuff. And, you know, it was super cool. So now if they go back, you know, to like 80s, 70s for like Grand Theft Auto, that's awesome. But now Rockstar's saying open world game back in medieval time, you know, calm the fuck down. What are you trying to do here?
Started a new IP.
I know, man. It's just,
So they described this game a little bit down here, focusing on 1v1 sword fights. This is totally all rumor here, too. So.
Right.
But yeah. Featuring heavy focus on sword fighting and one-to-one duels.
I feel like Rockstar rumors are one of those that just always end up being right. I don't know about you guys.
And but maybe
like,
they have a leaky department on purpose.
Well, a lot of them are based on... So a lot of the Rockstar rumors have been based on job postings and also people posting their resumes and saying, I worked on like Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PC or things like that. So they've come from some pretty legit sources. This, I think, comes from a Reddit post. But, you know, sometimes people on there
are right.
They're right. There's one specific guy who always had Blizzard leaks, and everybody knew, like, anything he said always came true. Yeah. So, like, it kind of depends on the reputation they have.
I think my friend is going to, like, either he started or is going to start listening to the podcast, my buddy that's over at Rockstar. So I kind of have to stop saying the stuff he accidentally says when he's drunk.
Right.
I've
gotten Chad fucking shit-faced drunk. I've shot him up with heroin. He hasn't told me shit about Blizzard.
Oh, dude.
I'm not holding anything back.
So, I can't say anything. Never mind, because you people know what I'd be talking about, so I can't really say anything, because that's a break. My buddy's going to shut us into it. So I want to ask him about other stuff, but right now he's still working on patching Red Dead for PC. That's like their main thing right now. So, but he says he's going to move to another team. He just doesn't tell me what yet. So I want to get out of him, dude, but the last time I got stuff out of him, it was expensive. Like, he's a big guy, so he drinks a shitload, so it took a while. But
Trank darts, dude.
Yeah, no, but now he kind of, like, now that he knows I'm on the podcast, on this podcast, because he just found out about the podcast. We hung out 2 weeks ago when he hooked it up with some, like, Red Dead copies. And
that was expensive too, right?
Oh, dude, it was expensive. It was more. I would have been better to buy the fucking games.
Dude, taking a fat guy out on a date, dude, never.
No,
cheap.
Man, never. Damn, cheap. Dude.
You can go to all you can eat buffet, and somehow it's going to be more expensive.
And then he got me so stoned, and it was hilarious. Well, it was remember when I got to the baby shower and I was already kind of fucking worked up?
Yeah.
I was already gone a little bit. That was all him. It was fun. It was fun. It was good times. I hadn't seen him in a while. But yeah, I want to ask him about this. But medieval times, Grand Theft Auto. I feel like this, it'll kind of weird.
I just want to say this. When Bobby, when you said one-on-one duels, the first thing I thought of for some reason was
like Mordo?
No, Japan times. Like samurai fighting each other one-on-one, like Musashi or whatever. That'd be a really cool setting if they really, really did well under like single player one-on-one duels. Because those things are so quick. It's not like, what's the one, For Honor? You can fight somebody for like 40 seconds in For Honor. I feel like samurai duels were like 10 seconds
I feel like
once you pull the trigger.
I feel like it's easier to write a storyline for medieval stuff than for samurai stuff. I feel like there's so much more into like the lore about like, you know, the samurais and all that stuff.
Well, it's because we're not Japanese. If we were Japanese, we'd know a lot more. Like,
I yes and no. I still feel like it's way more complicated. Like, because like when they wrote about stuff about the fucking, you know, the Old West, you can kind of imagine how it was.
Right, right.
You know, talk about, you know, how samurais were.
Medieval.
Like, and all the gods and all the stuff when it comes to everything, you know, and like even like tradition, religion, and, you know, the actual like civil part of it and all that. It's probably very, very, very complicated. And this was just, you know, they did an Old West stuff where it's just.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we know that historically King Arthur slew dragons and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And through, he could, yeah, like. Lightsaber control over the Excalibur.
Shot fireballs out of his ass. Yeah, man. Totally.
Who knows? Rumors. This is why I don't like talking about rumors.
I love
like,
rumors, right? Man. Rumors are like they keep you going.
They start the hype.
How many rumors do we hear about a Half-Life VR game coming out?
A good amount.
And they were right. Yeah. They were right.
I mean, it all started with that photo. Remember of, well, that was of the Index. Of somebody taking pictures of Index being made. Do you guys remember that?
No.
And it said Steam stamped on it. You guys remember this? All right.
No. For me,
if you guys had rock solid memories like I did.
The rumors for me that started with Half-Life were when they started finding assets in CSGO.
Yeah, but that's been around forever, dude. That's trolling, I think. That's been around for like 8 years. I don't think that had anything to do with Alex.
I think they did.
I don't know. I think a lot of times people that are making games don't even know what they're doing. So it's like, we may be privy to some little bit of information and then blow it out of proportion or take it the wrong way, but they're like, oh yeah, that was just some random idea that we had that didn't work out, and then we went a complete different direction with it.
So. Like what happened with Titan, right? Titan was supposed to be Overwatch?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
well,
then
Titan was supposed to be like a big MMO. New MMO that they were working on.
Right, and so the rumors were correct, but it ended up, who cares? Well, there was hours and hours and hours of buzz generated, but it ended up being something completely different,
which is what they said in that video. Watch the video that I'm talking about. It's like the guy that talks to Valve about Alex, and he said, and they were saying about there's probably like five games that they just, you know, put in their vault in the creation of Alex.
Oh, like on hold?
Yeah. No, a bunch of stuff. They were just like, yeah, this is awesome, and then like no, put that away. Bloop. Let's keep working on this shit.
All right, I guess we should talk about the Google Stadia launch. So, yeah.
it was lackluster at best, right?
Yeah, it didn't seem to make a huge splash. Some people said it was okay. Some people said it wasn't that good. I don't think anybody was really losing their mind about it, or I don't know. It seemed pretty soft.
Yeah, it just started. It's not like there was going to be a revolution day one. It wasn't like everybody's getting flying cars, but this type of technology, I believe, is the future. Like, if it gets good enough, why would I buy another computer?
I wonder if this... there was an article that I was trying to finish before we started the podcast, which was talking about the actual lag time if you were, like, on your PC. And, like, I mean, this... And they were saying it was not bad. Like, yeah. So...
People seem to be getting mixed reactions from it, or mixed performance from it. Some people, like with really good internet connections, are having lag. Some people on their cell phone are playing just fine. So I don't know. It seems to be all across the board. But I just kind of feel like in general, people are very quick to complain about it. Like, like they see a Twitter post that shows it lagging on a computer and everyone's like, like this. Proof.
Oh, a second ago.
Like, we can't connect on this yet, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, we can't play Stadia yet, right?
You would have to have pre-purchased it. Yeah. I think Warconius has it.
So still kind of a little bit of a soft opening then.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's only until
2020. I think January is when they release it wide.
It's only the people that got the Founders Edition.
Maybe it was March.
From what we're watching right now, was that the Xbox? It does look better than the Stadia version. But like I said, I mean, it's day one or week
that
one.
That was really rather simple.
Give them some time.
But still, I was a bit confused.
It's going to get better.
Now
it's Google. Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
I know. I just feel like, could this ultimately scare off maybe Xbox when they're, you know, what they're working on or anyone else working on this stuff?
I wouldn't have been surprised if Xbox wasn't going to do another system.
Why not?
Because they're getting into the streaming side as well.
I understand that. But, like, Xbox loves making a better console than PlayStation. They always make a better console. They just suck at fucking making the games.
But PlayStation does that super well.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome.
Their first-party titles or whatever.
But their first-party or first-person, third-person. I mean, third-party. Like, third-party, first-person, whatever it's called. there's a name to it, right?
Cause like, yeah, it's a first-party, third-person foursome.
No, because like they're, you know, their first party titles like Uncharted, that's from Naughty Dog, you know. Crash Bandicoot is from Naughty Dog. Ratchet and Clank, which is like they're like almost mascot, like almost, you know, kind of like Crash Bandicoot, it's from Insomniac.
There are
all these other, you know,
yeah,
you know, the PlayStation,
they're very good at, like, I don't know, owning IPs.
That's what Microsoft is doing. They learned from them, and now they're buying all these freaking IPs, and they own everything now. That's why we're getting Rust. That's why. What was that noise?
I could do it again.
Oh. That's funny. Sounds like fucking, I don't know, something Baby Yoda would make.
How cute is he?
Oh my god!
Bobby,
what do you think about the Mandalorian?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious. Before we go into the next part of news, I'm curious.
Have you seen all three episodes?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
of course he has.
Okay,
yeah. No, I
watch
think...
him shoot it down.
I know.
It's like, it's almost like I said pull, and he's like.
Well, technically, guys. Like, oh my god! Like so, like
no. I really enjoy the Mandalorian.
There you go.
I mean, first of all, it's Star Wars, so I can't. You know, I'm completely blind when it comes to that franchise. I like all of it, no matter what. But I think it really works well. Like they
didn't keep you from shitting all over this new Jedi game.
I like it a lot more than that. I mean, first of all, we've never really had a live action Star Wars TV show,
right?
So George Lucas talked about doing that like a long time ago, back when he still had control, but we've never seen this before. But I think it's the perfect fit, and I think Star Wars works way better when you're telling stories about just random people in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm,
you know, like this random Mandalorian, and the Baby Yoda thing was just like just gold. Like I could see everybody's eyes just getting wide when they pitched that in the meeting. Like, yes, that's it, dude. Cause Star Wars always has to have a Porg or an Ewok, you know, it's always got to have some cute factor.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone loves Yoda already. So Baby Yoda, I mean, that's just like,
this
genius.
Is the third one we see, this third of their species.
You're so right,
see.
Bobby. There's never been anybody who's ever been like, I don't like Yoda. Never.
Yeah.
No.
Everybody
never.
Everyone, they either love him or try to talk like him or fucking like anything.
Yeah. And God, you know, I was watching, I've been watching fan edits of the prequels, like where they cut out all the
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, they cut out all the
Jar Jar. That's so funny when they take them out completely.
But the, God, dude, the CGI Yoda just is not the same, man. It is so not the same, because you go back and watch Empire Strikes Back when you first see Yoda as the puppet, and it's just so different. And he seems like a different person too. Like the way he talks, the way he moves, the things he says. My favorite bit when I watch a movie way too many times, there's always like one, I start gravitating towards really specific lines or like bits of things that just you wouldn't really pick up on or notice. But my favorite thing that Yoda ever does is he, when he's arguing with Luke and he says something about a great warrior, then he goes, "Great warrior." And he like shoves his arm forward. And I swear, you watch it, I'm going to pull up on YouTube because it sounds crazy.
I think I know what you're talking about.
But it's just like, why does he thrust his arm forward? Why does he go like, like, why?
Because he's kind of like, I don't know, just like done with it. I think. But what about the time when he's just like hitting the robot with a stick?
Yeah, when he's hitting the robot.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I mean, like, it looks smart.
Very Jim Henson, very Muppet-like.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that great warrior thing. Okay, here it is.
Away with your weapon. I mean you no harm. I am wondering, why are you here?
The voice just sounds different.
It does.
Help you again. Yes.
It's somewhere.
I'm looking for a great warrior.
Oh. Great warrior.
Oh. Oh, he's starting to walk, I think.
No, dude. He's like, what?
No, he's starting to walk.
He's throwing a fireball.
Do it again. He's starting to walk. Look. It's his first step.
Yeah, but okay. He juts out his arm, like, emphatically. Like, there's a... Okay, here we go.
Because I really got to talk to this dude. Yeah.
He's starting to walk.
Yeah, he's starting to walk. I think you're looking too much into this. Yeah.
No, dude,
that arm comes out.
Like, yeah, the arm does come out because...
He's a puppet.
The arm does come out because, like, it's actually very, like, it works... It's stationary.
I mean, he really wanted to go talk to him, so he really started to walk. But yeah, I would say that's about it.
No, that's weird. I don't know. But yeah, so the Mandalorian, I think, is really shaping up. I think a lot of people, I get it. You got to get clicks. You got to make content. But like, I thought it was kind of dumb how the first episode comes out and people are like, 10 things wrong with the Mandalorian. And just like all this stuff. I'm like, all right, dude, a little early for a hot take
here. Yeah. You
know? It is a little slow. I think it did start a little slow.
Well, yeah, but it's copying the whole Western. Have you watched a Clint Eastwood movie, dude? That shit they're like 3 hours long and like
super
half of it
Western.
Is just dudes.
Well,
like
episode two, I mean, the episode two, the second episode was very, very slow. The third one got a little better.
Yeah, the third one was John Wick. What are you talking about?
It got a little better. Yeah. A little better. I'm enjoying it, but...
I like the second one with the Jawas. I thought that was...
I like the whole thing. I mean, you know, I like most things.
It's his Baby Yoda.
His helmet is so fucking cool.
I know.
It's the coolest helmet.
When he walked out with the, like, not spoilers. But anyways, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the cameos. I mean, you got Carl Weathers in there. Yeah. Apollo Creed. Yeah. You got Brian Posehn at the first
San Diego, by the way. Graduated from San Diego State.
Really? Brian Posehn?
No, the Carl Weathers.
Oh,
he's the most famous person to ever come out of San Diego.
Nice.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, dude. Action Jackson. Watch that movie. Werner Herzog. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, weird. I knew him. I didn't know, now that you put the name. He's a documentarian. Like, what's he doing in there?
He makes other movies as well. But yeah, I recently saw his Gorbachev movie. But yeah. I mean, he plays like an imperial after the empire has been, I don't know. It was a good role for him. He did a great job in it. He's got such gravitas. Like, he's so serious. It was great.
I've been noticing that there's a little more humans than there are in other Star Wars. And I think that they're saving costs on practical effects. You know, I do like that. The Baby Yoda he's practical, right?
Well, that was a big issue. Like,
that's a puppet.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. He's a puppet. Puppet and then CGI sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's a great clip of Werner Herzog talking about the puppet. And I think it was actually before the show came out. Cause it sounded like he wasn't trying to divulge too much about it, but it's hilarious to hear him talk about that. But after the whole like Force Awakens, that was like the first movie they were like, let's go back to puppets and like animatronics and get away from
practical
the whole CGI
effects.
Things. Because that's something that's like associated with Star Wars now.
Yeah.
It's a stylistic effect. It's not like we could probably do it better in CGI and make it look great, but Star Wars has always kind of been about like the puppets.
Pushing it forward, practical effects.
Like Yoda with the little like Jim Henson kind of Muppet movements.
And BB-8 was practical, I believe. That's a robot like rolling around. That's not CGI.
Is it?
Yeah. They built something that spins the way that, however they made it, they made it.
If there's anything like the drones over at Galaxy's Edge, she probably broke all the freaking time.
This is the best Star Wars shit since Rogue One, I'm going to say.
Rogue One was great. I'll be honest. Well, I don't care what anyone says. I love Force Awakens.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it a lot.
It's all about the second one that just fucked everything up.
I don't even mind that movie.
I don't know, man. On rewatching all the Star Wars movies, I think I did this, back in June last year. It was when the Solo movie came out. That was the last time I rewatched all the Star Wars movies. The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, like, I was having trouble paying attention. It was totally losing me. Rogue One, probably the only good thing that held up. And I think Star Wars just works.
Solo's really good.
No, no.
I saw Solo in the theater when I was doing this. So, of course, it's in the theater, and I really liked it. But again, like, it's like Rogue One. It's a story of not dealing with, like, the whole... It's not, like, one of the main stories.
Right.
It's like a side story. It's some backstory on Han Solo. So, yeah, I really liked it. But I got to watch it a second time on the small screen to... Really analyze it.
I don't know. I did when I watched it. It was like, all right. I enjoyed it. Then I saw it. I saw it with Gia, I believe, and I was just like, ugh, what's going on here? Like, how did I kind of like this in the movie theaters?
All those movies are way too damn long, dude. That's like my first issue with them. They cram so much stuff in there. And it just, I don't know.
I would like to announce officially. I don't know if we've said it on the podcast. Bobby and I are starting, not a side podcast.
Yeah, said it last week.
Oh, did I? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to do it this week, but I ran off and did mushrooms in the desert.
I'm so jealous.
So there's going to be something next week. Heroic Dose, you don't do. It's not like you don't do it with like friends to get high. It's like
something
you do alone.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, but not alone. I want someone to watch me. Fuck yeah, that. I was true. Like... When he was talking about the story, when someone took the red mushroom, the fairy tale mushroom, and the guy was just, they get into the repetitive syndrome.
Anamita muscaria. Yeah.
Yeah. And they
that's the mushroom that's in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. And they get...
But people don't do that for fun.
Yeah, no, because that one's not supposed to be like, it's not supposed to get you all crazy, but, you know, it can.
Ray, you want to do a side podcast where we review drugs?
Oh no.
All right. Let's get back on the news here so we can get through this. The nominees for the 2019 Game Awards have been announced. So they've got a few things that are different this year that I've noticed. A lot more categories, a whole lot more categories. Also, people can vote now. If you have a Twitter account or, like, I don't know, Facebook, you can actually cast a vote. Now, on the panel are still all the other gaming outlets from around the world, you know, Ars Technica, PC Gamer, Giant Bomb, you know, just a fraction of these. If you look at, like, all the other ones, it's so many of them from all around the world. So I'm guessing your vote, like, they factor that in, but... You probably, like, they probably have the popular vote that they factor in addition to all these other gaming outlets that...
Right.
That
like, different.
Well.
That, like, obviously, Ars Technica gets the giant chunk of the voting, but I think the popular opinion can sway it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're separate.
If you go on our Instagram, you'll see a really cool little picture that was uploaded today.
I had this... Is that Bobby? What the shit am I looking at?
Is this on our Instagram?
Is that Bobby and Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. We're nominees for the best podcast, awarded to the most drunk gaming-related podcast with the most salsa.
But are we there? Oh, we're there twice, I see.
We need chips and salsa on this motherfucking podcast. I swear to God, that would be so awesome. I will do this.
Bread and salsa.
Yum, yum, yum. And then I'll put it back in my face.
I want to propose something to you guys live on the podcast. So we cut off homework. For this time of the year, I have my game of the year in mind.
Okay.
You guys should figure yours out. Instead of doing homework, we play each other's game of the year. And then we can really give a real game of the year.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we'll talk about this more off the air. Oh, and also we're having a... meeting after this.
So we're having December we can do that. So starting next week we can start playing each other's nominees.
Yeah.
That'd be
and
cool.
And I would say more than 3 hours on that.
Yeah, but. that's super fun. Yeah. Like okay. Just play it off.
You like it, Bobby?
Just play it throughout all of December whenever you can.
Bobby's like, do you have is your game of the year something from the 80s? Or
I just don't know if I have a game of the year. I'll come up with something.
Okay. We don't have to do it today, but I think it's a good
idea. I have, like...
Because generally, we all throw them up in the air, and we talk about it, and then usually... I mean, we always find the winner, but it's so hard to really put your 2 cents in
when you don't know. Controls on there?
Mm-hmm. So these are the nominees
nobody
for
even talked about control.
Game of the Year. Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2,
okay.
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds.
Oh, wow. Outer Worlds.
I can see Super Smash winning okay. that.
Death Stranding, no. 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 It can't be on there. It's not Game of the Year.
That's material.
That's not Game of the Year. No. I'm sorry. It's just, it did not.
Yeah, it seems a bit odd, especially since that game came out so recently. And this this happens a lot with Game of the Year. You get a release that comes out in November, and you know it's been out for like 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, boom, Game of the Year. I don't know.
No, Super Smash is going to win this, guaranteed.
I've been watching my brother play Death Stranding, and I don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of traveling, no?
No, it's... When he started, he told me, oh, dude, it's fucking, I don't know, man, it's weird. And then now he's like, no, bro, watch, this is super cool. So watch, I have a cart that follow me, and I put boxes on it. And I was like, oh, that sounds fucking awesome. Do you have a donkey, too? Or, like, what's up? Like, how does this game work? Oh, dude, see that bridge? I built it. And people give me likes for it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like,
oh, because it's, like, somewhat multiplayer, right?
Yeah,
so they could probably use the bridge.
So people can use that bridge. So people are like, oh, thank God someone put a bridge here so I can drive my car over it or whatever. The game is so weird, man. It's like Paperboy in the future.
Plus babies.
And weird monsters. And I don't know. I should reserve my fucking judgment until I actually sit down and play it. But my brother says half of it keeps me going. The part, like the storyline and all the really cool cinematics really keep me going because I want to see what's going to happen. But when the game, it was really very hard for him to begin the game. Hmm. And he's like,
this is a game that you need like 10 hours to settle in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I don't know.
But not Game of the Year.
What are we looking at, Bobby? What are these blocks?
So these are all the different categories here. Quite a few esports ones, content creators.
I'll take family game for $300, Bobby.
They do have it kind of lined up like that. some new categories here I haven't seen before. Audio design So audio design, but they also have score and music as a separate category.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then some ones we've seen before. Mobile game for impact, independent game, multiplayer game. They just have a lot more categories in general here.
So game direction, I might see why, you know, it. Who's nominated?
Gosh.
Did it show? Did you click on it and it shows who's nominated?
Mm-hmm. Game direction, Control, Death Stranding.
See, that makes sense for Death Stranding.
Yeah.
It's the exact same games for Game of the Year.
I know, right?
It is.
It really is. Except for Outer Wilds. What is that?
So that's another game that Sam...
Oh, we've talked about that a couple times.
Yeah. We still haven't played it.
No.
And Mobius made it, apparently.
This game, out of all the games that Sam Barlow had mentioned during our interview, this was the game that he went on and on about. He really liked this one.
Well, it looks great. We talked about it a couple times on the podcast.
Super zany and wild, no? Like, isn't it like the... It's kind of like...
It's a co-op RPG.
Oh, okay.
It's that co-op RPG where like it's like either split-screen couch or we can just, you know, go online and just explore this world. I would be, and I don't know if you guys remember, Chiwi kept on saying, this is my game. I want someone to play this with, you know, if she played games. But it's like, it's that one game where, like, I guess it would be really cool. It's a fucking RPG. You and your homie, fucking open world. Looks really cool. I would be down to play that shit.
So a cool thing you can do on this website, you can actually search for a game up here and see if it's nominated for anything.
And then vote it.
Put Dragon Ball FighterZ. See if Minis Game of the Year will be on there.
That came out this year, did it?
Yeah, that was last year.
No, that was last year. No, see, Mini, you're wrong.
But if you type in Disco Elysium, so that's nominated for Independent Game, Narrative, and Role-Playing Game. So good for that one. Yeah. I also like how they have some sponsors here. So Fresh Indie Game. Presented by Subway.
Oh, shit.
E-Fresh.
E-Fresh.
Let's click on it.
Fresh Indie Game. We got Disco Elysium. For Gree.
My Friend Pedro.
For My Friend Pedro.
My Friend Pedro did really well at the beginning of the year.
Outer Wilds. Slay the Spire. Untitled Goose
Game. Oh, dude. I need to play that
No, you don't.
I do.
It's not going to blow you away.
Yes,
dude.
It is.
I was a goose, and it was awesome.
It was so awesome. I wish I'd. Oh, VR. Oh, dude, What the Golf is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so for mobile games, they have Grindstone, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
I have all those games on my phone right now.
I need to download all those games. I'm playing a bunch of bullshit right now.
I have all those games on my mobile phone. Well, dude, I'm not joking, man. That Apple... Oh, you guys don't have fucking iPhones. Forget.
Yep.
App Arcade. If you guys if you guys have an Apple iPhone, I haven't had food today, guys, and I had like two whiskeys. I'm already feeling it. It's fucking awesome. Like, that Grindstone game is great.
It's a subscription service for your phone.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of the Apple Arcade games, they're PC games.
Well, Google has their version of it now, too. I don't know what games they have, but
Google
they do.
Arcade?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they advertise. I got like a notification. In
get it, dude. It's, for us, it's $4.99. It's totally. They have those games where like you can just be like, oh, you know, when you're pooping, or there's games when you're in bed and you just want to really get a story in you.
Or what? Do they have one for when you're pooping in bed?
No. Oh no.
All right, so let's take a look at one Diaper more category games. Here. The VR AR game.
Oh shit.
And the nominees are Asgard's Wrath, Blood and Truth, Beat Saber, No Man's Sky, and Trover Saves the Universe.
Okay, so
it's Beat Saber or Trover.
Trover, I mean, that hour I got in the game was just amazing. Ah, dude, it's so many. Okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm playing Trover tonight. That's what I'm playing. I'm going home playing Trover.
What about Rogue Legs? No, I'm set. You're off the hook on that if we do this other thing.
No, yeah, hopefully.
Such a good game, dude.
No, I played for like 30 minutes. It was really fun. Okay. I need another 2.5 hours.
All right. So are we going to talk about what we're playing next week now, and then we'll get to listener questions after?
Sure.
I was so, more curious about the game.
Two things going on here. One, we're going to try something new. We're going to end the show and then do Q&A after. I don't know why. I wasn't for it, but we're going to try it out. See how it goes. The other thing is, Insidious is on sale, you motherfuckers. You can get it now. If you like hot sauce, this is my company. I'm not doing a read for somebody else or anything. When the project was first brought up to me, I said, there's no. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get into something that's going to go, because I know what a nightmare it is to go through stores, because my friend, he has Pooch Selfie. You can check that out. He's the inventor. You have to pay 30% to the store and 30% for distribution before you take your cut after taxes. So you ended up of profits. Like, it's ridiculous. So the best way to do it is direct to consumer. And luckily, I have people that trust me, and I wouldn't sell you bullshit. If you like spice in any way, I have a delicious salsa that it's unlike anything else out on the market. It's non-perishable, first of all, so you don't have to refrigerate it. It can't go bad. That's really good for us, too, because we don't have to worry about selling you all kinds of, you know, how fast we got to move stock or whatever it is. But the best thing about it is it has crunch and flavor. Like, it's all seeds inside. It's oils. We have olive oil in there. We have grapeseed oil. We have a little bit of canola oil. And we have like 5 different or 6 different seeds in there. And that's pretty much the recipe. So you're not going to just get spice. You're going to get a little bit of crunch. So it's so good on soft things like bread, like croissants or eggs or anything like that. Yeah. Or just put on anything that you would put hot sauce on. Hot dogs, hamburgers. Like, it makes everything better. It's so fucking good. I would have never gone down this route. This is not a business that I originally was interested in, except for I am 100% in love with this stuff. Almost everybody that tries this loves it. Like, especially the Mexican people. If you're Mexican, it's game over.
At DLG Con, he brought a bunch, and everyone was devouring it.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, your regular Caucasian where you can't handle spice.
Yeah, yeah.
They were loving it. They were loving it. So
I would not do you dirty, guys. It's legit.
He would, but not with this.
And, if you're not somebody that's accumulated for... accumulated? I don't know. I'm getting a little drunk. But the original is not too bad. It's not that spicy. It is spicy, but it's not that spicy. If you go fire, then that's somebody that's really ready for some spice. Like, it's hot. Not super hot, not so like...
It's really good.
Yeah.
That's the one I like the
most. That's the one I love the most, too. And you get more bang for your buck because it's going to last longer because you put less on your food. So I always prefer selling the fire because it's the same price. Yeah, try it out, man. I love it. And if this works out and get a few more Patreons, the show's going to get better, too, because I'm going to quit my motherfucking job. That's my job. It's my own business, but I want to get rid of it. So I want to do the goal is Insidious and podcast for my and taking care of my baby.
Me too, man.
Keeping my baby alive.
I would be marketing and this.
Yep. So there we go. I promise you it's not bad.
All right. And so they can place their orders on Insidious.com.
Yep. Insidious.com. And just click anywhere. Sniper, help me out with the website. You can click anywhere pretty much on the site, and it's going to get you the buying stuff. And I think we finally figured out the shipping. It's not that bad. Chad just ordered like four jars for like $7.50. So I think we figured out the shipping. Got it as cheap as possible. That was my really big concern. Yeah, check it out, guys. It's my passion project.
So we'll have to make sure. I'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can, if you're listening to this on your phone, just scroll down and you'll see it.
We should like Joe Rogan, the ads maybe.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting into that.
Throwing in them.
I'm going to be advertising on as many podcasts as we can afford.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. I don't know. This feels weird. Why don't we just do listener questions? I mean.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like ending the podcast?
Well, I also wanted to take another... I guess I don't need to be more drunk, huh?
Probably. I do.
All right, let's take an intervention.
An intervention.
All right, so we're going to try something out. We're going to end the show, run the credits, and then we're going to do Q&A afterwards. We're just mixing up the order of stuff.
But where do you hear the Q&A?
Right after. You just keep listening. So this is both an intermission and a separation from Q&A from the original show.
So that was okay. So that was the show. All right, bye everyone. The music plays.
And then we come back in.
Whose fucking idea was this?
If you would show up for the meetings.
What meetings?
We have tons of meetings, dude.
I never get invited.
We had one.
when was that meeting?
No, I say we just scrap that. We just do like we normally do. We do listener questions and talk about what we're going to play and then cut it after that. So the idea was that we were trying to, because the listener questions go on like a really long time.
Yeah.
So we're
sometimes, not all the time.
It's more often than not.
It's when we're drunk and we go off the rails.
That's fun. That's the best part of the podcast.
That's what I said.
I think that's better than the games.
Him and Sniper were beating me down about, I don't know.
No.
Oh
my God.
Like the Joker. I mean.
Oh, I get like messages like, hey, bro, like, I love the, you know, when you talked about this. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's awesome. I get those messages on Discord.
Yeah.
By the way, get on our Discord. I'm noticing more people are getting on our Discord. Get on that shit. It's fun. And you can talk to us directly. I answer messages.
Or just creep for 2 months.
Yeah, I'm actually really nice and I'm really quick. I'll be at work and I'll see your Discord message and I'll be like, oh, what's up, bitch? All right, for sure. All right, peace. You know, we're cool. You know, we're homies. We're all homies here. Go on our Discord. It'll be fun.
So, Bobby, and your new role that what you want to do, where's the time for whiskey? I don't understand when me and
that's the part. Okay, so I think we need like a mini bar and then we should make this also like a alcohol.
No, that'll be too much. I like this intermission stuff. Can we take an intermission?
But watch. If we do intermission, we also need to. This is like a meeting at the same time, guys, so you guys know. We gotta add some gaming into this. Yeah, World of Warcraft. Anyways, so if we do these intermissions, should we not say that we're going to an intermission? Because that sounds kind of weird.
I think we have to acknowledge it somehow. We aren't going to be able to segue it.
When I went to Utah, I was listening to this half-hour podcast, and they take a break, and I was like, "What the fuck? Like, how? why do you take a break 15 minutes? But that's how they do it, and it works. I don't know.
Do they say, like, oh, all right, we're going to be a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
All right,
well, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
All right. And we're back. All right, time for listener questions. We've got a lot of them here, so let's start. First one from Shadow Master. What game based on historical events made you feel like you were a part of the events?
Never.
Wait.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Wait. Made me feel that I was apart from the events or like a part of the events? I'm confused by the question.
Yeah, usually I fix a typo.
I'm part of the events. Oh, shit. I don't know.
I don't think that's ever happened.
No, it's because when it's a Shadow Master question, you have to keep its integrity. Right. You can't correct that, you know, because it'll just be all like everything's underlined red.
I'd say 90% of our listener questions are need a little touch up.
Assassin's Creed Origins feels very accurate.
I think any Assassin's Creed, right?
In those games.
Yeah.
I still say, I forgot the name of it right now. The pirate one. Black Flag. Yes, yeah. That's still my hands down favorite one. That was so good.
That's Bobby's favorite one.
It's the best one.
It's the only one I ever played. I tried to play some of the other ones.
You're lucky. Like, the only one you actually really went through was the best one. Like you don't need any more than that.
Well, that's probably why you stuck to it.
It was really good. The ship, making your ship look all. Yeah, when I saw that question, I remember that game with his panthers or Black Panthers or whatever the fuck it was.
Not quite.
No,
The game we were
the Armenian thing. I don't know what the fuck.
1979 Revolution Black Friday. Mm. So I played this game, 6 months ago or something, and it was really helpful in helping me understand the whole conflict over there when they overthrew the Shah and the Ayatollah took over. Like, I'd heard about that and mostly tangentially. Like, I hear like SNL jokes about it on like old clips, or I hear like, you know, I hear about like people referencing it, and I never really understood what happened or what was going on there. And even after search, like Wikipediaing it, it's very confusing. So playing through this game, 1979 Revolution, like it's a decent game in and of itself, but it's actually really helps to put you in the middle and help you understand what went on and kind of see, because usually you try to figure out, okay, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys in this situation. And really there weren't any.
Yeah.
It's almost always in the middle.
Yeah.
Another one that's like that right now is the Armenian genocide. It's like, I feel like it's really coming up right now. Maybe if there was a game about that, like I would be able to understand it way more.
I didn't know about it. I just heard about it.
Yeah. Recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous. It's something I never, and I have Armenian friends. I dated a girl. She was Armenian and she never, ever, ever brought that up.
Is she aggressive?
No.
I feel like they're default aggressive.
No. She was, I don't know. They were just very rich. She was just very chill. It's like, what worry do you have in your life when your parents own like half of the fucking liquor stores in San Diego? It's like, oh,
you have a lot of liquor. You have a liquor problem.
Yeah, no. She was super chill. Cause like, it was just like, oh, I'm just rich. I get whatever I want.
Yeah.
So she was happy. And she was smart, too. So it's just like it worked out. Hmm. Yeah. She just got married.
Next question from Hogglefosh. I'm finding that the better a game's graphics are, the less I enjoy it. I reckon that my imagination filled in the gaps left by lesser graphics in a similar way to reading a book. Do you think it's possible that amazing graphics actually make a game less engaging?
I have a lot to say on this. I don't think... this is what it is. Less graphically intense games are cheaper, so more risks can be taken, and thus you can find newer and quirky mechanics that like things that excite you. When you're playing a AAA title, you're playing tried and true moneymakers, and that's what Bobby's playing right now. He's playing that with the Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. And it's just tried and true mechanics. Everybody knows that it works. You add Star Wars on top of it, it's going to sell copies. Mm-hmm. You make something like Cuphead. That was a fucking stretch. That was a huge stretch. You make something like Legend of Bumbo. There's nothing like that out there, really, especially on PC. Like, these are big stretches, but they're fun. Binding
was a stretch.
A huge stretch. It wasn't even good when it came out, honestly. But over the years, it's just...
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
And now it's probably one of my favorite games, if not my favorite game. And this goes on and on and on. So, you know, if you want to have fun, check out Devolver Digital stuff. They take risks, but calculated good risks. If you want great graphics, go with one of the AAA titles. And not to say that they're less fun all the time. Like Destiny 2 or like the other looter shooters. Those are fun for long periods of time. But it's almost, they're almost triggering like an addiction mechanic in your brain. It's not like you're having new fun all the time. When you look at these indie titles, it's just like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this before. And so, anyway, that's my answer to the question.
Damn, okay.
and nailed the dismount.
Hey, Bobby, you want to go first or want me to go first?
Well,
second.
I don't know what he's saying about his brain filling in the gaps, kind of like reading a book. You know, if anything, I think better graphics allow you to tell better stories in video games. There was an interview with Ken Levine, the guy from BioShock. I'd heard it on a podcast many years ago, and he was talking about how he was writing for a Star Trek game, and he was writing something like something along the lines of, his eyes widened in surprise. And then one of the developers came over to him like, look, dude, this is the mid 90s, by the way. It's like, we can't widen his eyes like that. Oh, that's not going to happen. Like we can't make that happen. So I think better graphics can allow you to do bigger things, but yeah, like Emilio said, it's, you don't take risks when you're spending that much money on a game. And, so usually you end up with a game like Jedi Fallen Order, where it's just, has all the rough edges shaved off, and what you end up with is something that just appeases to the general, like the most audience members that it possibly can. So, which I mean is fine if you're a child, but like, after
it's
a while,
true. It really
if
is
if you've
true.
Been playing, if you, I mean, I've been doing this for like 25 years plus, so like it doesn't excite me in any way.
I feel like I stopped getting that immersed in games, and like after a while I feel like I don't
except Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh fuck you, dude.
Well, it's hard to get immersed in game, you know, like with Jedi Fallen Order, like every time I'm stuck in a dialogue scene.
When was the last game you got really immersed, like you're just like awed, and you're just like, oh, jeez. Dude, boom, like
this. Oh, and by the way, this is something that I've always said about like the big media outlets, when they review games, I feel like they're super jaded because they've played everything, and they have, you know, it's their job to play games 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
And so when they review something, you're not getting the real review, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're older now. So if you're 20, you might think that Jedi Fallen Order is the best shit ever. That you've ever played, because they have Star Wars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we've played that game 20 times by now. 25 times.
I mean, it's the same thing with movies, and it has a lot to do with someone's approach to criticism, because some people are just like, their whole approach to criticism is like, should you spend money on this? Is this worth your money? And some people are like, well, is this, you know, is this art? Is this contributing to the human experiences in any way? You know, like, it kind of depends on what you're going for, but... You know, the best way I ever heard it explained with movies is that, you know, a good critic will point things out. They're not telling you if it's good or bad. They're kind of leaving that up to you. They're giving you their opinion, but really they're pointing things out, and they're like illuminating it so you better understand it and can therefore make a better judged opinion on it. So I don't know. I think journalism or critics, I think, is a little different than movies. Like, I think people take the movie criticism a little more seriously, but I think for a long time, a lot of video game journalism has just been another way to hype up games and sell them.
Except for like Jason Schreier stuff. I feel like he's our first.
No, there's absolutely people who are not doing that.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to like call out any specific media outlets or people, but I just think, like, in general, like, video games have just been primarily about making money and not really about, you know, what, you know, what is progressing us.
Doesn't everything go through this? Don't you think, like, some movies are made for making money and other ones are made like,
oh no, that's
passion projects.
Well, when it comes to movies, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, there's so many film, directors and writers and everything, where I'm going to make this movie, I'm going to finish it. And, it's just my project and I don't give a fuck if it doesn't make money.
And even actors have said, you make one for you, you make one for them.
Exactly.
You make one for you, you make one for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why.
And that happens in video games too, but I don't think it's as.
No.
Cut and balanced.
No, because it's very hard with video games, I believe. Is that I feel like it's a little bit harder than movies. Because, you know, you're one for you and they're one for them might still be a fucking flop. So you kind of have to do like, it's all for you guys.
Well, one finances the other one, usually.
Yeah, normally. But games are just right now, there's just so many games. There's this ridiculous amount of games right now. Ah, dude, I'm sorry. But whenever I see Jedi Fallen Order and I see the actor... I was telling this to JP Diddy when he was playing it yesterday, because I was like, yesterday, 2 days ago.
He's a ginger dude, right?
It's the guy from Shameless. So I always think like, oh, it's the dude from Shameless.
After him? I didn't know that.
It's him.
It looked like Seth Green to me.
No. It's the guy from, if you look at him, it's go to Shameless. Look for Shameless IMDb or whatever. Shameless cast. And it's Ian Gallagher, right there. Next one.
Oh, yeah.
That's him.
Yeah, that's him.
That's the guy. Oh, he's the actor in the Cameron Monaghan.
The short hair is going to turn it off.
Monaghan. Hey. See, that's why Emilio's white. I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Monaghan.
That's a funny thing. All of Sam's family, all of her friends, they all consider me white, guys. Like, I know you. I'm the most Mexican guy you've ever met, ever. They think I'm. They call me white because I know how to enunciate.
Anyways, I was gonna say, what was the question?
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Next one. Let's go. Right.
Oh, by the way, great question. Killed it.
Wait, which one was it?
Question of the week.
The graphics, right?
Yeah,
the graphics.
Yeah, you know what? I lost immersion in games for a lot of games now.
We're talking about fun, though.
Yeah, and graphics don't make it.
Dude,
fun.
How fun is Duck Game versus like even Counter Strike?
Hey,
I know Counter Strike.
We can play Duck Game online now.
No, I know. Oh yeah, that's good.
We tried
game night.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. No, but like Counter Strike is fun, but it is super intense, and you get very invested, and you can have a bad time playing Counter-Strike. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right?
Very horrible time.
I don't think I can have a bad time playing Duck Game.
I can like, have
even if I get I trounced.
No, the thing is, I can have the worst time in any game, period, when it comes to competitive. Because
have a bad time. Even Duck Game. Quack,
even
quack.
Duck, because you beat the shit out of me every time. It's the only game I really, really, really... No, there's a bunch of games that suck at it. But it's one of the games that I really, 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 like, fuck. It pisses me off, because Emilio almost always beats me on that one. Hate that game.
Ooh, we can play that online.
But it's fun.
That's awesome.
All right, we've got some questions from Warconius. Flossing or penis-injected birth control, which is more legit? So there was an article about male birth control, but you have to get it injected with a needle into your vas deferens.
Where's that?
That's the tube that goes from your scrotum, to your testicles.
To your penis?
Yeah.
I read about a pill.
So they say the pill is probably 10 years off, injection, according to the article, lasts 13 years. It's doctors in India that are experimenting with it, and got it at like a 96 or 97%.
They inject you.
How long does it last?
13 years.
That's
what they say.
That's bullshit. That's too long.
Well, it's too long.
5 years
can
is good.
You end it?
Dial it back.
Can you just kill it? Like, can you just inject again and be like... back
from what I got from the article, it seemed like one shot. 13.
I feel like after one injection, it's like, don't ever touch me again. Like, fuck that.
It really sounds like a country that has 1.5 billion people, which they do. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like something for them.
I think not we need for that like injection the agile in, like, Joe, the whole world right now,
the average American Joe. it sounds like.
I think we need that injection.
I don't know, dude. I don't know how to answer your question. Moving on.
Flossing. You'll go for flossing.
Yeah.
Go for flossing, bro.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that's the right answer. Let me copy right off of Ray's answer. Yeah. It's flossing.
All right. Warconius also asks, which game would you consider a flawed masterpiece, and what is the flaw?
Oof. Geez. Anything that the Molyneux guy makes?
A flawed masterpiece.
Because I feel like...
Peter Molyneux?
Yeah.
When it, like, which...
Like...
Like the Fable games, or
Black and White? Is that him? Or the God games? He made a God game.
Goddess.
Like he promises so much, and they fall flat. If they were what he said they were going to be, I feel like they'd be incredible.
Well, he's been making games since the 90s, and he had some big successes. And he was one of those people that was just very highly regarded, and then just, I don't know, it didn't translate well into later games.
Yeah.
But I don't know, flawed masterpiece. See, I figured you'd say Anthem.
No, man.
There.
Again, another game. Did you play it, Bobby?
Anthem.
It's not flawed for me, though, dude.
Homework.
Yeah. Homework will be coming back in January, by the way.
Yeah.
Flawed masterpiece. I don't... No, like a game that was really, really good, and like, oh my god, this is amazing, but there's like a couple things wrong with it. I don't know, masterpiece is a pretty heavy term. Like, there's some games that are really good but had a few things wrong with them. I talked about it many times before, but the two Forced Unleashed games, like did some things really right but had some big problems. Then the second one, they fixed it and created new problems.
All right, so. I got a new answer. I would say Spore. Like, it's a masterpiece, and the only problem is, like, you couldn't keep playing it. Like, it didn't go... There's no end game, I guess. That's how they would say it now. But back then, they wouldn't say that. So it was only fun for the little bit that you played. I'd go with that.
I have one. The only reason why...
Super Mario Brothers Plus.
No, dude. Final Fantasy VII is a flawed masterpiece. It's one of my favorite games ever. One of the best flawed games I ever played.
Way.
It didn't give me anything new from Final Fantasy VI. It just the graphics. It didn't add anything new to it. You know, something that Final Fantasy XI, no, not XI, but let's say, well, since 10.
So you played 10, most of them.
I played them all,
I haven't played a lot of Final Fantasy games, but it seems odd to criticize them for originality because there's like 20 of them. I don't know.
No, but I mean, like, there isn't anything new that was added to the game. Like, every...
Mechanically.
Like, when it came from Final Fantasy VI to Final Fantasy VII, you know, VI being, like, my favorite Final Fantasy ever, and then Final Fantasy VII just giving... All it did was give me graphics. And
not a better story.
All the six, no, fuck no. Final Fantasy VI has a better story, I believe, in my heart,
in my heart of hearts,
in my heart of hearts, in my soul of souls. I feel like it's, you know, hands down the best one. And Final Fantasy VII gave me, you know, better graphics on the PlayStation, like all nice and pretty, and you know, and it gave me cool little mini games and little extra mini, but like. Final Fantasy, they've always had mini games. They've always had all this other stuff.
At its heart, it's not better.
Yeah, but then Final Fantasy X gave me, like, better shit. You know, Final Fantasy VIII gave me a card game. Final Fantasy IX gave me, like, both best of both worlds. And then, like, even though it's not that great. Sorry, Chi. And, like, Final Fantasy X added, like, way more stuff. So Final Fantasy VII is a fucking masterpiece, but it didn't give me anything new.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
So that's the one I'm going for that question.
Bobby, did you say one?
I wouldn't call it a masterpiece, but I mentioned the Force Unleashed games.
Okay.
Mini.
By the way, that's the third time you brought that up this episode.
Mm-hmm. He likes number 9, just like fucking Chi over here. Oh, makes sense.
Cruel Rabbit has a two-part question here. First, when a component in your rig is going to blow, do you feel sad, scared, or happy?
You never know before that happens, do you?
How the fuck do you know you're going to blow?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes you can tell, like, if my motherboard's going bad, I can tell because I get weird random issues. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping my TV goes so I can upgrade that.
Dude, Black Friday's coming up, dude. Just do it.
There's no... Dude, my TV works perfectly fine. Like, it's
so is it fun. UHD or just HD?
No, dude, it's 1080p. I bought it in 2012. It's a 3D shit. TV. Yeah, it has 3D on it. I don't even have the glasses anymore, but...
It's time, dude. And the saddest part about you getting rid of it...
It's time, but it's not time.
It works perfectly fine, dude. That's the thing.
Well, the other thing is you get to sit so close that, like, you don't really
QLED. I already know the one I want, like a 65-inch Q70R, like not the best one, but like a good one, you know?
Yeah.
65-inch, yeah, but like... I don't know. It'd be great for watching movies on, but at the same time, like I'm doing that AMC thing and I'm seeing movies in the theater now. And that, yeah. I mean, that's the best viewing experience you can get.
I own, I own two TVs. I have an LG OLED 65 inch, which is my baby.
In your room?
And then in my room, I have a Q70R. I mean, Q80R. Not the 90, the Q80. I got it for like $300.
80 inches?
No, bro. I have the 55 inch of the of the Q80. I got it for $300 because I have a friend that works at Samsung, so I got the super cool, awesome employee discount on that one. So it's pretty badass. It has a FreeSync on it, and do see the improvement when it comes to console gaming. I also see the
wait, is it connected to your computer?
No, it is connected to my computer.
So do you play, like, controller games on it?
Yeah, I play Red Dead on my 4K on
that. It's crazy because Rogue Legacy has been 3 weeks, and you haven't... So you could do that in bed, and you haven't done it. Okay, I got it. Bobby doesn't invite me to fun things, and you don't play with games in bed. Okay.
Anyways, I was playing Red Dead on it on my bed. It was fucking awesome. But, so... I love TVs. I'm always looking at like whatever's new and stuff like that. I did get the Q80R just because my friend told me, like, hey, you've been wanting a TV from me forever. Have you bought one yet? And I said, well, I did. I bought the LG, but you know, you got a good discount. What you got? And she gave me that for $300. So I fucking put that. OLED is amazing, Bobby, if you want to consider it ever, but it's still too dangerous. I'm scared.
Dangerous in what way?
I'm like, scared every time I use the TV because, like, I don't want it to stay frozen in something for so. Obviously, it takes like, you know, super long for it to like burn in or whatever. But you know, and then but if I look at my
OLEDs, you can't have a still screen for
no for not too long. No, no. There's a lot of new technologies for OLEDs that actually, like, every couple seconds the pixel shift. Or whatever, like it's like a shift thing.
Oh, just to protect it.
But you don't notice it because it's so quick. Right. You know, so you can't even tell. So it does that. Like the Razer laptops have that. You know, they have OLED screens, so perfect blacks and everything, and they shift every time, so that you don't notice it.
Gotcha.
But that Samsung is good. I think I compare it to my OLED. It's fucking. I think it's great. Like I because I wanted. I wanted to see Endgame again, Marvel Endgame, and
I watched it Avengers. Three times now.
And I was just like, I want to watch it because, like, I saw it first day. The first fucking showing was like a 5 o'clock members only, fan only event when they gave me a poster and shit, right? So I got there because I wanted to watch it for anyone else. I saw it. I loved the shit out of it at the moment. I walked out crying. I'm like, oh my God, best one. But then I started thinking about it. Like, I was like, oh, some stuff was really fucking stupid. So, like, I finally watched it again. And I was comparing it between the QLED, which only gave me HDR10. And then my LG, they gave me Dolby Vision. Because Samsungs do not give you the Dolby shit. Or maybe it's just the apps.
So you're saying that you're going to compare sound.
So I compared them both with HDR10 and that, and it's not that bad. It's not that bad of a difference. There's no part of me where it goes like, oh, nah, dude, LG is like a billion times better. OLED's so much. It's not. It's really
not. Dude, as far as TV, they're all trying their hardest.
Yeah.
The difference between which one's the best is razor thin, I think, right
now. It's just like...
Especially on the upper end.
So Samsung bought, like... You know what I mean? Sony bought the OLED technology from LG, and then Samsung was like, ah, fuck you guys with your OLED, and they made their QLED shit. So it's kind of similar, but it's still not as great. But the comparison between those high-end screens... Dude? What?
15% of Koreans are employed by Samsung.
Oh, I know.
It's like...
I know.
The country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're trying really,
yeah, no,
really hard.
Like my friend that works there just like only works with Koreans. It's ridiculous. And then even in Mexico where they have the factories where they just, you know, send them over here, they like it's a bunch of Koreans working in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Listen,
yeah.
Bobby has to fucking go plug himself in.
Sorry. All right, go.
You just talked for like 45 minutes.
No, I didn't.
All right. Another question from Cruel Rabbit. Also, I think I just booked singing lessons with a local tutor because I love Mike Patton. Shall I follow through? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down for anybody trying to improve themselves. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, singing is awesome.
I recently decided I have to learn something new. I haven't learned anything, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, probably 8 years. Like, I already, I need to...
You haven't learned anything completely new, like any language or like anything, a new trade.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. And I can feel my brain like atrophying from not using it.
Okay.
So it's really time. But I don't know what I'm going to learn. I think Mandarin is high on the list. Oh. I don't think it's that hard.
Oh, really?
But then I was thinking about how, like, I haven't even mastered Spanish, you know?
How about you work on that?
Although I've gotten a lot better.
Oh, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. Very, very, very better.
Do you want to do the rest of it in Spanish?
No.
Okay.
Then Bobby will be, like, better than us in Spanish.
Let's do the last question in Spanish. I'm not going to look, but let's do it in Spanish. Don't look.
Okay.
Well, look. You just look.
I just read it.
All right.
One more question from Morconius. What's the age cutoff for OK Boomers? Can Gen X use that?
I mean, there's an official. Boomers are like cut off at a certain point.
No. But then again, you have to think about it. Like, they keep changing their fucking ages. Like, I used to be a millennial. Now I'm not a millennial anymore, apparently, to the new millennial standards, what you really are. Because they're like, you know what? People that were born 85, they're not really millennials. Because the higher percentage of them are super against a lot of shit, so they're not really millennials. So I was like, in certain studies, I'm a millennial. Another whatever, I'm not a millennial.
It's weird, it doesn't
matter. But it's one fucking scientist that decided who the fuck people are millennials. Like, I can go fuck himself, you know?
You're a hipster, but not a millennial.
Exactly.
I would say.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not.
You don't fit the mold, Ray.
I don't. I'm not a millennial. Right. I'm not a millennial.
Okay, very fuck pumping, you, asks, I'm a few months behind on podcast listens. Has DLG bought and tested a VR system? I like how you put in parentheses about virtual reality, just in case we didn't know what VR was. played, reviewed VR games yet? If not, seriously, for the medium, has matured. What exactly are you waiting for?
So, to be 100% transparent, we had a decent little amount of money that we're sitting on because we didn't have anything to do. We didn't have any goals. And then it all went into the DLG con, which is fine because we all had a great time.
We had so much fun.
It's all gone. So we don't have any money. As soon as we get some more money, that's probably one of the first things we're going to look at and do some real serious research, and also like share the research with you guys and why we bought what we bought. And so that's going to happen. And also, is there a second part?
No, there's no second part to the question.
Okay. But pretty much we're broke right now as far as like a podcast.
Yeah. So after playing this weekend, VR games, I am gonna play more. It's just it's fun. It's so great. It's just there's a level of immersion that just doesn't exist with regular gaming. And just honestly, just playing Five Nights at Freddy's the other day and today too,
and having a spiritual experience basically.
Oh my god. And then the thing is, I do that and then I sit down and I go on Steam and I click on, you know, VR games in the store, and I'm like, all right, I still have
my catalog.
Yeah, but like you have Space Pirate Trainer,
which is awesome.
Which I still haven't done. It's installed now, so okay. I'm gonna try that one.
Did you play the magic one?
I think the VR games have gotten a lot better, dude. Those are like the old.
Those are the old VR ones.
First
yeah.
came out. Space Pirate Trainer.
Yeah, and now it's
so I'm the old guy within VR, which is brand new. Okay,
yeah, pretty much. All right. Anyways, I've been wanting to play. There's Oculus. They're assholes. They have great fucking games that's just them.
I mean, a couple.
But like like the Robot Recall and all. I think that's what it's called, or other ones. And then I want to play Lone Echo. Heard that one's supposed to be really great. It's a bunch of games.
New shit, guys.
It's I'm gonna start playing more VR games. Like after playing this weekend, I was just like, I'm missing out. Like, there aren't that many games out there that are that's great. So like, I have time to play them. They are pricey though, because it's like $30 for like a 3-hour game.
Have you ever played
VR? Is more expensive.
Have you ever tried a Euro or American Truck Simulator?
I have not played.
Sounds
that.
Ridiculous.
The only truck simulator I played was 18 Wheeler on the Dreamcast. Did you play that?
And no. By the way, Jens wrote a review of Euro Truck Simulator like 2 or something, and it was on the front page of Steam. Like, he's a good writer. Check it out and upvote it, because he's pretty proud of it, and I was proud of him. Moving on.
Final, oh wait, no. Second to last question. Penultimate question, if you will. Emilio, this is from Burn Division. Emilio, I've heard you talk about the Tesla truck on the show before. Now that the pictures have come out, how about them polygons? What's the minimum PC requirements to drive one of those?
All right. I got so much to say about this, because I've gone through an entire like week of thinking about it. One of the great things about Joshua Tree is no internet, no cell service, no nothing. And at first it seems like a hindrance, but later on it feels like a positive thing, because, you know, you detach for a little while and it's good. It's good for the soul. First thoughts were like, oh my God, it's as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, because he had said,
it looks like a Warthog, dude.
Yeah, it looks like a Warthog. And
Warthog? Is it Warthog or Warthog?
I don't know. I never played that game. Warthog. I'm pretty sure it's a Warthog, because it's a real animal. Yeah. And you're just making shit up.
I suck with words. Holy shit.
And you're on a podcast, dude.
I know, right?
I know.
I should not drink on the podcast.
You say that shit sober. All right.
No, I don't.
We're not talking about you, dude. We're talking about the Tesla truck.
The Warthog.
So, Warthog Gulch.
Warthog Gulch.
I went out there with another. Well, he's a like massive Tesla enthusiast.
Oh, Warthog! Oh my God, I'm drunk,
dude. Shut up.
Sorry.
And some other guys that are thinking about getting trucks. So it was like a really good place to bring it up and talk about it. And almost universally, everybody hated it right off the bat.
I think it's awesome.
And then I started reading about everything that it can do and the price tag. And I'm like, this is, if it is what it says it is, it's going to be the best.
Sorry, I read it's Cricket's comment.
So it's $40,000, right, as a price tag?
Yeah, which is cheap for a truck. Cheap.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's like buying a F-150 with roll-up windows. That would be what really? You're getting, basically, yeah.
No, I thought they were cheaper.
I mean,
no?
I guess you can get one for $30.
Oh, for $30, yeah.
But like, even a Tacoma, which is Toyota's amazing truck that is totally worth the money, I think they start at like 32,
33.
So to buy this at 40, 39.995 or whatever, and never pay gas or like you don't have fuel filters, you don't have transmission filters, all this stuff. These are the things that I pay for my nut every month for my truck is in the vein of $1,600, no, $1,800 a month.
You're talking about just upkeep and gas?
Upkeep and the payment. So the payment's $900, and that's with a good credit rating now. And then the gas is $400.
How expensive was your truck?
It's like a $70,000 truck. But I bought it used, and so it was like $50 or $60. Anyway. So, I have a Sierra 2500 HD Duramax.
I don't think your credit was that good, dude.
No, I'm paying 4.9, which isn't crazy.
Nah, it's not that crazy, but still. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you buy the top of the line version of this,
70.
Yeah, which is 70. You have 500 mile radius, or what is it?
500 mile?
500 mile.
Oh, damn.
But if you're pulling something, which are what trucks are for a lot of the times. There you go. There you go. 500 mile away. If you're pulling something, it's going to drop dramatically. So I know that ahead of time. That piece of glass that you guys see on the back of it retracts into the roof, and you have a truck bed, like a legitimate truck bed back there. The body is made of cold rolled steel, the same thing they made this rocket ship out of. It cannot be dented or scratched. The suspension can be controlled. So if you're loading things into the back drops. If you're going into the sand dunes and you're jumping over sand dunes, you can also lift up the front and just jump over sand dunes.
My car does that suspension thing. It lifts.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Too bad you never do any of that stuff.
I have. Fuck off.
It seats six people. If you want to pay for it, it comes with an ATV. That you could charge, which is electric, and you can charge off of the, and it has camping versions.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. It is, okay, I would say the looks are the worst thing about it.
What are you talking about? It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, I pre-purchased one for $100. You can, not pre-purchase, but reserved one for $100.
Only 100?
Yeah, $100.
Oh, wow. Let me get three.
You pick everything you want. Yeah, man.
When are these coming out?
2020. 2022, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
but if you pre-purchase, you get it yours in late 2021.
For $100?
Bobby,
I'm going to pre-purchase one. Fuck it.
Just the looks.
The looks, dude, they're pretty futuristic.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are
gonna looks
have
like
a
warthog. It looks like Pumbaa from Lion King. God damn, I can't talk when I drink. I'm sorry, Bobby. I'm bugging you. Shit.
I'm having trouble understanding the
God damn it.
The headlights and the brake lights here. Let me get a picture of the brake lights.
So the headlights
looks like one long.
Yeah, it's one long LED strip. But if you're going off road, there's an additional one
for that trailer.
There's no trailer. I think they just did that for the mock-up. I know, it's a shitty trailer. But there's an additional light strip that faces down for off-roading.
Hmm.
Yeah, man.
Looks like a Puma.
So anyway, so let's take my $70,000 truck that I have now, right?
Okay.
And then compare it to this one.
Okay.
Like I said, my nut every month is like $1,800 because of the gas. And there's always something. There's either a fuel filter, there's a suspension thing, there's something has to be upgraded. These things just go and go and go. Think of a fan. Think of how many revolutions your fan that you blow air on yourself with has done.
Okay.
That's what you're dealing with. Like it's an electric motor. So really nothing really happens to those almost ever. And if it happens within warranty, they're just going to take care of it. So you have an electric motor like a fan in your room. It'll just go and go and go and go. You don't have to buy diesel. You don't have to buy gas. You don't have to buy fuel filters. You don't have to buy this or that or this. It just goes and goes and goes. Obviously, there's some upkeep. I don't know what it is, but there is. I've been in Chad's Tesla. Chad has a Tesla now because he works at Blizzard. And it seems like regular cars. It's like he's elevated to the next level of cars. That's what it feels like when you're in a Tesla. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, you don't need all that stuff that they cut out. There's a ton of shit they cut out. And you're like, oh, yeah, you don't need any of that. You don't need
this. Have a very clean, simple design, even if you just look at the interior of them.
Yeah. So anyway, what's up? You need me? What?
I want you to get in there.
Oh.
Go for it.
it's always hot.
I was naked earlier. So just body heat. Yeah, it's pretty cute.
Sam tried to come in here for some reason. All right, close the door. All right, moving on.
All right, final question.
Oh, wait, in Spanish.
From Zap. Can we get a DLG hygiene challenge?
I was going to say it in Spanish to see if he understood. No,
hygiene challenge.
Podríamos tener un reto higiene de DLG.
Higiene. I didn't know that word.
Higiene.
Pero lo que quiero decir es que no hay manera que podemos medir la diferencia de higiene. Entonces, no va a servir para el podcast.
Your Spanish is getting so much better, dude.
Thank you, dude.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. Not bad.
¿Y qué son tus pensamientos, Bobby? Roberto.
Roberto. pinche Roberto.
I got to include it in here, I meant to, but somebody had a good response. They said, I don't want to see the before pictures of that.
Of what?
A hygiene challenge.
A hygiene challenge.
Motherfucker, Zap, do you remember the fucking weight loss challenge?
Yeah. We're the exact same. I wouldn't expect much different in this one either.
Seriously, we'd say we talk about the improvements every week and then never do anything about it at the end.
All right.
Playing next week. So I have a radical idea.
Okay.
Do you guys know that we have a meeting app right after this?
We do.
We have a DLG.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
Why am I not in these meetings?
It's not going to last long. It's like a 5-minute meeting. But anyway, you're off tomorrow. You're off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything immediate.
Well, I'm working tomorrow.
What time?
Well,
8.
Yeah, you're fine.
You ruin everything. I want to do a game night.
Tonight?
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down for a game night.
Oh, no. I'm not going to be up that late. We've been recording for like 3 hours. So.
All right.
It's been 3 hours? Yeah, it was supposed to be a short episode.
That's what we always say.
I don't know why my voice is so high.
Shut up. It adds.
Even higher. What are you playing next week, Bobby?
More Jedi Fallen Order.
You sound like it's a labor of love.
No, I don't know. Something's going to happen. Something's going to change. Like, there'll be some good parts. It's such an up and down with that game. But I'll find something new to play, too. But definitely Jedi Fallen Order.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to throw in some Outer Worlds in there between the VR.
Have you even launched it?
I just installed it. It's there. It's ready. It's okay. Ready.
All right.
I just have to click it on once. I need some VR though. I got a little VR addiction. So I have a couple games I want to play. If you guys want to throw some cheapo VR games,
how about Rogue Legacy?
At me.
Or what about my game of the year idea? Or is that starts in December?
No, I'm down for that. But the thing is, like, we have to come
that
up.
That starts in December, let's say. Yeah.
So okay, so
Head Start would be nice, though.
What?
Yeah. So we have a week before December starts. And then pretty much December.
But I don't want to tell the audience what ours is.
Oh no, of course not. Yeah. No. So the only thing I know what our thoughts on because
fuck off, audience.
I have a thought on what my game of the year is already. So
I'm going to play whatever I have time to. Like these days, I don't even know. I've spread myself too thin, guys. But like I said, if I can get rid of the junk monkey, then I'll have so much more time
if
to
I can get rid
do everything else.
Of my corporate job, fuck, man. DLG would be my number one.
And we need for...
Sorry.
Bobby would never leave his job. We could be making $300,000 a year. He'd be like, the pension. speaking for Bobby, Ray, and myself, Tesla truck titties, everybody. Brum,
brum. Cyber truck.
They don't even do...
Cyber brum, brum. Titties.
Yeah, they go...
What?
They don't make noise is what I'm saying.
They don't. No. It's so weird. So Alana doesn't have
a Tesla. You can run over your enemies. They have no idea.
They have no clue. Dude, it looks like a fucking...
Watch out for what?
All it needs is a minigun on that shit in the back.
Yeah, there's a lot of
fucking warthog.